about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh my God! Hit me again!
All right, one more time around the block.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All right, give us some background on Mrs. Butterworth. Is she a slave woman?
Mrs. Butterworth?
Yes.
No.
Or is that just that whore Aunt Jemima?
What question is that, Kevin?
I need some background.
Aunt Jemima's not a slave woman either. She just happens to be a black woman. All black women aren't slaves.
No, but didn't it look to you like it?
Kevin, the interview killer.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man.
When do we get our murder button?
Whoa! Whoa!
Wasn't that just cool?
And now,
there are several ways to kill a zombie, but the most satisfying one is to stab it in the brain with a wooden stick.
Our feature presentation.
That's true, by the way.
I didn't know that.
You don't know about that about zombies, but...
That's good information.
What I love about Dwight Schrute is that he knows multiple ways to kill a zombie. He's the guy you want to be in the office with when the zombie invasion happens, because he's going to be prepared. He won't be caught off guard like the rest of us.
You're absolutely right.
He's one of the best characters on TV.
Love him.
On that show. He's just amazing.
I want him to be real.
As do I.
I love him so much.
Lakers, Lakers, Lakers.
Celtics, Celtics. Oh, wait. First of all.
Did they get knocked off? I didn't see.
They sure did.
Ha ha.
Yeah. No repeat champion this year.
Oh, well, that's the way it goes.
So Cleveland, Orlando, and then Denver, Los Angeles is what we're looking at. So very exciting. Which both should be great series, too.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Should be very exciting basketball. Cleveland hasn't lost a game in the first two rounds, by the way. They swept both.
Well, there is that.
But they're playing the East, so.
Lakers could have done that, too. They just didn't want to, hurt the spirits of the other team.
Sure.
So they said, yeah, you know what? Why don't you win three? And then we'll go to a game seven. And we'll, I thought that was pretty nice. It was kind.
I don't know. Mike, maybe you do. I don't know when they implemented this current playoff system where they have, 30 layers of playoffs to get to the finals.
Right.
But whenever that happened, since then, no one has ever run the table. No one has ever won them all. Lakers came closest, remember, back in 2001, where they only lost one game in the whole playoffs.
Right.
They lost one game in the finals, but that was it. So people are speculating. At this point, it's still early. They're only, two rounds down. But can Cleveland continue at this pace? We'll see.
Yep. I sure hope they meet the Lakers. I think that'd be a good matchup.
Oh, I do, too. The closest game for Cleveland so far, they won by 10. That was the team that got the closest.
That's not very close.
No, but they're not playing the same level of competition.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, they're playing the East. Right. Exactly. So, hey, I should warn you, Kevin. I know you just walked in. You don't know this yet, but apparently there is no coffee.
Oh, good.
And Lisa is looking for someone to strangle.
Oh.
You know
come
how she
on.
Is.
Not good. She, well, of course.
I expect my coffee to be sitting on the counter as I walk in the door.
Anybody that gets up this time of the day and has to work, they know that coffee is like blood. You have to have it or you die.
It's pretty essential, yeah.
That's just BS.
Mm.
But Lisa expects her coffee to be waiting for her when she gets here and it not to taste like coffee.
Yes.
That's true. Put a bunch of stuff in it. She has a recipe book that she makes people go through.
They've learned.
But they
are a famous mixologist by the time they get done here.
Sure. Why do we not have coffee?
Well, Mike explained to me it's because of the weenie roast, because there were so many more people here, which I didn't exactly understand, but
so
he's
many
saying
more
that
people here.
Well, working over the weekend, more during, bodies in the building means drinking more coffee.
During weenie roast, it's essentially like an 8-9 hour live broadcast.
Right.
From there, so there's a board up here.
Oh, I see.
And there's a person in the other room editing the live interviews
that are being done.
So there's at least two or three people here throughout the entire day.
Because a lot of times, more than we'd like to admit, bills just don't get paid. Just no one no one pays for anything. And then they go, what? We're out of coffee? What?
That is always a possibility. But it sounds like that isn't what happened this time.
All right. Are you going to make it?
We are going to take
Phone
calls.
They're going to get coffee now. Right. Trust me.
Monday morning edition of Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew is coming up. As soon as you call us, pick up the phone, dial 1-800-520-1067. I just wanted you to know because Lisa tends to be snappy, when there's no coffee.
Long weekend, not enough sleep, no coffee. Yeah,
it's so, like, hey, Lisa, you look nice today. And then she says, I don't care what you think. That's why Lisa is not on coffee.
Yeah. It's not a pleasant thing.
But let's just not let this happen, people. That's the lesson.
But we can understand. We'll understand if you punch a few of us. I mean, you have every right.
I think I do, too.
All right. It is Monday morning, by the way. It's the 18th of May. I see them.
Is heaven missing an angel? Because you've got nice cans.
And okay. We're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. It could be on any topic from, I didn't see Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live.
Or no, Green I didn't Day. Either.
He was great, and they were great.
So if you've seen
it. It was one of the best Saturday Night Lives of the season, in fact.
It's hard to go wrong with Will Ferrell. It seems like he delivers every time.
Yeah. Tracy Morgan made a special guest appearance. Tom Hanks was on the show. I don't know. There were several other people that just showed. Amy Poehler came back for an appearance. There are a lot of people who were really living it up for the season finale.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was funny. Will Ferrell is so funny. He really – I'm very excited about Land of the Lost.
Me too. He's the best. So we'll take your phone calls now, and we'll put you on the air and give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, what about this, guys? You know, Memorial Day is right around the corner, and this Thursday night we are kicking off summer with our friend Nicole Alvarez, who does the night show here at K-Rock Radio. She is going to be taking over Six Flags Magic Mountain. You can be there. Special occasion. You can be one of the first to check out the brand new Terminator Salvation, The Ride. So that's what you get for giving us a call at 1-800-520-1067. What do you think they do on Terminator Salvation, The Ride? What's the recurring theme in those films?
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
That's what they say at the end of the ride.
you just walk in front of the Terminator and he screams at you?
Yeah, we just have Chris and Bill yelling at people. That's it. As they go by, he yells at them, and then he runs and takes a shortcut and gets up front and again. And then when you go by him again, he yells again.
What don't you understand?
I do feel bad. You know, Christian Bale is kind of forced to start doing press again because the Terminator movie is getting ready to come out, and he's got to relive that whole incident from all those months ago because this is the first chance everybody else is having the chance to talk to him about it. You know, up until last week, we were the only people he ever did an interview with.
Yeah, true.
Tirade. But now he's got to relive the whole ugly thing all over again.
Oh, that was the best tirade ever.
It was.
I really love that. All right, let's begin with Katie. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
I just want to talk about my earthquake experience.
Yes, please.
My boyfriend and I were in the middle of having sex.
Really?
And when the earth moved.
Yeah, and I kind of was like, I didn't know what it was at first. I heard something fall and knew it was an earthquake, jumped off, and went to the doorway, and he just kind of stood there like, what is going on?
Did he feel it, or is he trying to figure out why you just jumped away?
I think at first he was wondering why I jumped away.
Yeah. Hey, it wasn't that bad. Come back.
Yeah. Well, now he's very excited because he claims he was the earthquake.
Ah, sure.
Sure, of course he does, yeah. Hey, how about if you're in the middle of something, Katie, how about a little commitment? How about
That's
a little stick-to-itiveness? How about a little follow-through? What's this with quitting just because of a little bit of an earthquake, man? You got a job to do in there.
No, he stood there and said, are we going to finish? And I was like, okay. And so we
all right, good.
We just finished. But the kicker was my parents called me right after and asked where we were.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome. Yeah.
And you told them?
I said we were watching TV.
Wow. Is that code in your house?
Oh, I'm sorry?
Is that code?
I hopefully...
We were watching TV. How far, 0 to 10, how far were you when it hit?
About a 9.
A 9. Oh, wow. Did lightning bust into your room and go, did you feel that? Did that happen?
Yeah, so he's very happy. So the earthquake was my boyfriend. He wants everybody
sure.
to know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I felt it. Yeah, that's what I got going.
Wow.
Congratulations, Katie.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call.
Do you feel it?
Yeah, I'm sure lightning was jumping up and down, calling everybody on the phone.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I don't know why he thinks he needs to run in and help us with that kind of information. Did you feel that? Yeah, it was crazy.
Usually lightning is the first guy to admit when he screws up or he does something completely ridiculous. He stands behind that.
He does?
Yeah. People like it when you're spontaneous. And that was a big deal. Everybody felt it and they could relate. I thought I'd come bring something energetic to the radio station.
I was like, you didn't think Stryker was taking care of it all on his own? He could just handle the fact that it was an earthquake?
Here's what I love. Lightning, our former producer, has figured out what people like.
That's absolutely true.
And he
literally delivers it.
anyone that says anything to him, you go, hey, you know what? Maybe you could edit that video a little shorter. Maybe you could do this. Maybe you could do that. Oh, people like it. Like, well, okay. Well, some don't.
How does he know that?
I don't know. He just, but he's convinced that he has his, you know, he knows exactly what's going on and people like it. And so he's giving them what they want, which is more him. All right, let's go to Johnny. Hi, Johnny.
What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby do?
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, you know, I know you guys talked about this before, but every time I didn't watch the Lakers play, they've won the game. And every time I watch them, they've lost. And yeah. I noticed this happens also when I used to, you know, root for the Patriots. And I watched the Patriots game, and I watched them lose. So.
Yeah, well, you're bad luck. So, but are you a Laker fan, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love the Lakers since I was a kid.
So you need to do what's right and not watch for the rest of the series.
I think so.
Don't watch Denver and then don't watch Cleveland. You can't do it. You
We're
have,
not kidding.
You have to do your part.
Yeah.
I just take glimpses from now and then.
Nope.
And then I go, okay.
No glimpses. That's weak. You are a weak fan if you have to take a glimpse. Well, just record it. And then you could watch the whole thing later.
TiVo, yeah.
TiVo.
Okay.
There you go.
Everybody has to do their part, man, you included.
Yeah, he could even be just 10 minutes behind, right? That'd be okay?
I don't know.
Watch it almost live?
I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah.
I would like to suggest that at least for Tuesday night, he skips the whole thing.
And then goes back
and watches it, yeah.
Okay, that's probably safer.
All right.
Second, Mike, you don't have your lucky shoes this year. That's over, right?
Yeah, well, after the destruction of game six last year against the Celtics, I threw those
burned
away.
Them.
Yeah, we can't take this lightly.
I have a lucky merkin this year I've been wearing.
Oh, that's nice.
A lucky merkin?
Yeah.
I don't know what that word is.
It's a pubic wig.
Oh, good. All right, good.
Hope that works out for you.
Well, I'm glad that's your lucky charm. That's beautiful. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay.
All right.
We have tickets to the Weenie Roast, first of all. Up front.
Really?
Oh, plenty of them.
In the pit. That happens Saturday, so that's done.
Right.
We won't be giving those up.
We are going to give you a complete recap of that behind the scenes with all the bands and stuff. That's coming up today.
All I know is that Mike was apparently dancing with Audrina and her sister from the Hills. That's all I know.
I missed that.
I don't know about dancing, but there was an encounter.
How did the ceiling eyes look in person?
Way hotter in person.
Yeah.
But she's had a lot of work done, and it's worked out for her.
Yeah.
Her face doesn't look as ceiling-ish. And she doesn't look like Mr. Potato Head with her eyes on upside down. she had her eyelid, like an eyelid reduction.
Oh,
or something.
She had something done there?
She looks really? Pretty hot in real life. And her sister's infinitely hotter. Like, I was so in love with her sister.
No kidding.
Yeah, somebody at the show told me, hey, you know what? Audrina from the Hills is right behind you. And I didn't even
turn around.
Have a desire to look. I was like, oh, great.
Well, that's because you don't realize how hot she is.
That could be. That could be. Also, on today's show, we're going to talk to Moon Bloodgood.
Ah!
Oh. Wow.
Turns out she's relatively cute.
What? Come on.
I'm just kidding. And is in Transformers 2.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she has some good stories about Megan Fox, too.
I thought she was in the Terminator movie. Am I wrong about
that? I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. Wow.
Terminator Salvation, right?
When I write stuff down, it's just whatever comes to my head. It is no relation to what's actually happening.
If I had coffee, I would have noticed that.
That's true. You'd have been all over that.
I would have.
And we have Blink-182 in the studio today.
Come on.
Who's that?
Talking about their whole reunion thing. And question one really has to be, when you guys came out at the Grammys?
Don't ask me. To announce
that you're going to get back together and do a reunion? Body language-wise, no one's been less happy. Nobody has been less happy. At that moment, you could just tell there was just hatred.
That can't be good.
It was not good.
It did look like the kind of tape you make when you're being held hostage.
Right.
To prove that you're alive and ask for money. It did look a little bit like that.
And Travis's delivery was like Harrison Ford. He's like, we used to make music, and now we're going to do it again.
However, having said that, by all accounts, the guys are getting along great and having a fantastic time and really excited about the tour.
I hope that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems like it has worked out, and we are very happy to have them back. That's for sure.
So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.
Oh,
Sorry. That's my bad.
How are you going to come at Dave Gahan like that? The boy's sick.
That's my bad.
Now you won't even let him sing.
It's 106.7 K-Rock Hero Q at 5:52.
You've had quite the morning, Kevin.
Already. I've been good, yeah.
So far, real strong.
I'm on fire.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good show.
Yes.
Did you know that Moon Bloodgood was in Transformers 2, Ralph?
I did not know that.
Yeah, apparently she's got a big summer. She's got Terminator and Transformers.
She's kind of cute. I'm just joking.
I don't even know what that meant.
I don't know.
I mean, she's one of the hottest women on the planet.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. And she's coming up along with Blink 182. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, you feeling okay? I heard you were left early and not well.
Luckily, they're only occasional, but once in a while I'll come down with, I can only describe as sort of like a migraine headache.
Ooh, those are bad.
Where it's so painful that your whole body hurts and you get physically ill. You get nauseous and... It hit me around 6 o'clock on Saturday. I just could not cope, so I had to go back and lay down for a little bit. I thought maybe I'd feel better, but just didn't happen. So I missed the better part of Weenie.
Ah. Good thing there was no traffic to further frustrate you.
Well, that was coming down.
You went to the hotel, right?
Yeah, I went to the hotel. Yeah. So that was my Weenie experience. Wasn't great, but it looked like everyone else was having a good time.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's all that matters. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? As we do every Monday morning, Angels and Demons came in at number one in its debut. $48 million made it number one. Just edging out Star Trek, which made another $43 million this weekend, keeping it at number two. X-Men Origins Wolverine came in at number three, then Ghosts of Girlfriends Past at number four. Obsessed was five. 17 again came in at number six, then Monsters vs. Aliens, The Soloist, Next Day, Air, and Earth. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, Marvel has just announced that they are making the new Thor movie.
Yeah.
And it has been cast. Looks like Australian actor Chris Hemsworth will be playing Thor.
He's a fake.
He is not at all.
That's ridiculous.
Chris was last seen as Captain Kirk's dad, George, in the new Star Trek movie. He plays George Kirk, who saves all those people at the very beginning of the film. He will be starring as Thor.
But he died saving them.
Yeah. The actor, however, lives on.
Ah.
Yeah.
Is he a good choice, Ralph? I know you follow the Thor mythology.
From what I remember, the dude, he wasn't in the movie all that long. He's going to have to hit the weight room, I think, if he wants to Thor up, because Thor is, you know, the Norse god of thunder.
Sure,
right.
You know, we all know that.
Of course.
Right.
Hail Asgard. Shia LaBeouf. If you see Shia in a car driving and you're next to him and he cuts you off or something... Just let him go.
Let it go.
Because there's a very good possibility in his back seat he's got his shotgun.
Really?
His newest hobby is skeet shooting. It says that Steven Spielberg got him into it.
Into skeet shooting?
Apparently Steven Spielberg is a huge skeet shooter.
That's where they throw the clay, whatever.
Clay pigeons are called, yeah. The disc, it gets launched in the air, and you got to blow it out of the air with a shotgun.
But he has to carry the rifle around in his
back seat? Often on the way to the shooting range, he says. So you never know when he might be packing heat. He says Spielberg, by the way, is a master shot who shoots a lot of different kinds of guns. It could be a sniper if his movie career ever takes a dive.
Wow.
Who'd have thought that Spielberg was...
No kidding.
So hot and heavy.
Could have a backup.
From my cold, dead hands.
How much do you think it costs to be Britney Spears?
Costs her a lot.
It sure does. TMZ caught a glimpse at some of her financial documents that were submitted to the court last week and discovered that she dropped in expenses between February and December of last year. Okay? It's just February through December.
Okay.
So almost the entire 2008.
All right.
Okay.
$10 million in expenses.
Wow.
And this is when she wasn't doing anything yet? Wasn't touring, right?
Yeah. 2008? That's true, yeah.
Now, I know she's got a staff. She's got a lot of people who work for her, but that still seems extreme.
$10 million.
Wow.
A lot of it was security, which ran her nearly $500,000, by the way, her bodyguards and entourage and that kind of stuff. Payments to Kevin Federline for legal bills, child support payments, household repairs, maintenance, hanging Christmas lights. That's expensive.
Federline
like $1 million right there to put up your Christmas.
Just bleeding her dry. He's just getting every penny he can from.
Well, he may have a new job, Kevin.
Really?
You'll happy to know he may be making his own money now. In Touch Weekly magazine says he has been offered a gig by Nutrisystem. to become a spokesman for the product. I don't know if you've seen Kevin lately, but he's really sort of packed on the LB since breaking up with Britney.
Yeah. Certainly has.
It looks like he ate another Kevin Federline. That's what it looks like.
A spokesman for the product have been guys like Dan Marino, Tony Orlando, Larry the Cable Guy, and now they're asking Kevin Federline to be a spokesperson for Nutrisystem and shed the pounds while doing so on their TV commercials.
Holla at yourself.
He certainly never took another dancing job after he met Britney, did he?
I don't think he ever did.
That's probably what used to keep him thin.
He danced in Popo's Owl a little bit. He was kind of like just boogieing at the sort of the control board there. Yeah. And Paris Hilton sucks so much.
Oh.
That's what I'm talking about.
No. Oh. She's bad. She's a bad person.
Oh, she's bad. Okay.
Her new neighbors are so miserable that she's moved into their neighborhood. The cops have already been there three times.
Yeah, she moved in with her boyfriend, right?
Right. She rented a place for her and her boyfriend to live in. Cops have been there three times, once for a party, twice for arguments that have been so loud the neighbors have called the cops. That a man who lives in the neighborhood has written her landlord offering to pay her rent if she'll go away.
So he won't lose any money
right.
on the
he
deal.
He won't lose any deal. This guy will pay.
Wow.
The $22,000 she pays every month.
Wow.
This place,
what?
As well as a $5,000 bonus if he will get rid of Paris Hilton, if he'll throw her out of the neighborhood.
Stop whoring around, Paris. Stop being a whore.
No word yet on whether the guy's going to take him up on it or not.
Wow.
She must really hate somebody to pay $22,000 a
no
month.
No kidding.
Just to get rid of him.
I'm always surprised to hear that Paris is renting a place, by the way, instead of just buying wherever she wants to live.
Well, I know she has at least one home. I don't know why she's buying this place with this dude. Maybe it's a tester. But wait and see. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actor Chow Yun-Fat is 54 years old today. Singer-actress Martika is 40.
Martika.
Remember
why
Martika?
Do I know that name?
Remember Martika?
No.
Really? Martika from Toy Soldiers?
Toy Soldiers, yeah. She's 40 years old.
Was she an actress, too?
Yeah. Speaking of singer-actresses, I don't know if you saw The Tudors this weekend.
But not.
Joss Stone made her debut as the Henry VIII's new queen, Anne of Cleves.
Cleavage?
No, not Cleavage. Oh. Cleves. It's Germany.
Oh.
And she's really talented, really
good,
actress. I was blown away. But the funny thing is, this Anne of Cleves historically was known as a dog, just as like an ugly, ugly woman.
Right.
And Henry was fooled into marrying her for political reasons, but they would like paint portraits of her and send them overseas and say, here's your new upcoming bride. You happy? He's like, yeah, yeah. And she got there. He's like, what? So the whole episode is like, she's got a face like a horse. She looks like a mare. And he's like screaming throughout the whole castle. He's like, but it's Joss Stone. She's hot. How can this? It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, that's bad.
Why don't they hire an ugly actress if the person is supposed to be ugly?
That's
Instead
awesome.
Of hiring a hot actress and just telling us she's
Pretending
ugly.
She's
Look
ugly.
How ugly Joss Stone is. Ooh, blah.
Now, that is weird.
Very strange.
She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
For example, Tina Fey's birthday today.
Oh.
Why, maybe they could have called Tina up, had her stop by. Play Anne, Queen of Cleves.
She's sort of cute.
Yeah.
Not as cute as Bean Things, but sort of cute.
You know, my people have been in rapier accidents.
Oh.
People were on the bad side of a duel. I'm just saying. She's 39 years old today. Jack Johnson, old Bubbly Toes himself, celebrates his 34th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Beautiful actress Moon Bloodgood joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show this Monday morning. Coming up in just a few minutes. Also, Blink 182 is back together, and they'll be in our studio. And we've got, check this out, guys. We've got tickets you can win to go see a very special Green Day show at a tiny little club. Every time you hear Green Day, you call us at 1-800-520-1067, and you win tickets to a special show on June the 4th.
Let's talk to Harvey Levin now from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Harvey.
How was the weekend?
It was good, I guess.
Do anything fun?
I don't remember.
Yes.
So it was good.
It was good then.
No, but that's age.
Yeah, oh, I see. I thought
I thought I might see at the Weenie Roast. Harvey, I know you're a big K-Rock fan. That seems like the type of show you would have enjoyed.
I am a big fan. I just what I do is I see people at the gym who have been to the Weenie Roast and look at them and then say, thank God.
Yeah, they do end up looking pretty wrecked.
It's seriously, a long, I mean, it's a long day.
The guy at the guy at the front desk.
Yeah,
Lord.
Well, Harvey, let's catch up on some of the celebrity stuff. You got some great stuff as always up on TMZ.com. And let's start with Britney Spears and her finances. First of all, how did you guys how did you guys get this breakdown of where her money goes?
Oh, just a, we got a checkbook. No, I'm kidding. She has to file it with the court because, you know, there's a conservatorship. So they have to basically account for everything that's being spent, and it's really to protect her. But in the accounting, $447,000 in security, which you could kind of understand, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
$50,000 on household repairs. What does she repair?
That's a good question.
Well, I mean, I don't know what they, if that's a catch-all category. I mean, you can have to replace a sprinkler system or something, and that can cost
$10,000.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can come up.
No doubt. And then Kevin Federline, his lawyer's fee, $625,000. Child support that she paid to Kevin Federline from March to December, $178,818.
Wow. KFED is making almost $200,000 in child support.
Yeah, well, you know, the kids get at least $200 of that.
Wow.
My favorite, Christmas lights.
Yes.
$3,400.
$3,400 to put Christmas lights up.
Right. Now, okay. But the best part is the part they didn't say.
Which is what?
Which is manicures.
Manicures?
Oh, really?
They redacted that. You know, when you redact something, it usually means it's too sensitive to put out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the judge redacts like stuff that is not supposed to. Manicures is redacted.
Why? What?
It must be some ridiculous amount of money.
I'm going to try to find that out today. I think that's hilarious.
That's weird.
She may get a manicure like every day or something, and not want anyone to know or something crazy like that.
Why would you redact that? Why would the judge say?
What difference does it make?
No,
I think it's hilarious.
That's sort of like when you know, somebody from the CIA writes a book, they black out certain parts.
Right.
That's right. National security.
Wow.
How's she doing? How's she doing money wise? This document you saw may not tell you this, but is she just banking on this tour? I mean, is she making huge cash again?
Well, you know, you guys know better than me about this, but I was actually with some people who were involved in it over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
And I did not know this, but you know, the most lucrative part of the tours,
no,
at least her tour,
what?
That crap that they sell.
Oh, yeah, merchandise? Yeah.
I had no idea. More than the tickets, like the boas and all the stuff that they – apparently, they make way more money off of that than the tickets.
Wow.
And they're making a fortune.
So she spent $10 million alone last year. And last year, she wasn't making money yet, right?
I think she was – you know, she was still getting royalties and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, from before.
But she's making a lot of money now.
$10 million.
Unbelievable.
She's Britney Spears.
Yeah.
This is Harvey Levin. We're talking on the phone, of course, from TMZ.com. One of our own, Dr. Drew Pinsky, in the column this week. Very, very funny. What you got going on with that?
Well
he's
Mary
not
Carey.
In it.
Mary Carey, yeah. none too happy.
Mary Carey is the porn actress that was on Celebrity Rehab.
Yes.
None too happy.
What's she upset about?
Well, she was on the rehab show, right. And it didn't go well for her.
Right. And that's whose fault?
Well, she thinks his, I guess. I mean, I'm not sure what she was expecting, but whenever we see her out, she's like utterly wasted now. So she has struck back at Dr. Drew.
He told me to stop drinking.
Exactly.
That's what she said.
I didn't
about.
Expect that when I went to rehab. That was a bad surprise.
So she's doing a porn that involves celebrity rehab?
Called Celebrity Pornhab with Dr. Screw.
Wow.
Well, now he's really made it.
And
have you seen it? I don't. No, I saw the clip that you put up, but
we have a clip up, and it's we have the behind the scenes footage,
right?
And it is kind of a mockery of the TV show, except for the gratuitous sex, and it's very funny, and all the characters kind of look like all the people on the show.
Awesome.
So they went out there and looked for a porn actor who looked sort of like Dr. Drew, huh? That's hilarious.
It's the thing now. I mean, that's how they did Nail and Palin. So that's kind of the thing.
Right. That's how they do all their, you know, not Star Trek or whatever
the
those.
Brady's.
Not the Brady Bunch,
yeah.
All those
exactly.
Kind of porn.
You drive through the San Fernando Valley and you see nothing but you think are stars.
Right, sure.
Harvey, anything you guys are working on in the newsroom today that you're looking forward to posting?
Oh, yeah.
That you can talk
and?
To us about?
No.
No. Okay.
Such a tease.
All right.
No, I'm sorry, you asked me a question. I answered the question.
He is, they're working hard. TMZ.com is where you'll see it first. And, of course, check your local listings for TMZ Television. Harvey, great to catch up with you. Have a great day, dude.
Good talking with you guys.
Bye, Harvey.
Thank you, bye.
It's Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, the first work day after the Weenie Roast, which was this Saturday. People are dragging a little bit, but at least Lisa has her coffee, right? So she's set now.
Nope. No coffee yet.
It was a huge concert, and Dave the King of Mexico brought his bacon vodka as promised.
Yeah.
And we all tried it. Because it sounds like a strange mixture. Why would you put bacon in vodka? How does that work? How do you come up with the idea? They're marketing it, the whole thing. So he had it. He poured us a shot, and we all tasted it. And I got to tell you, it was pretty universal. No one liked it. It wasn't just don't like. It was horrible.
And here's the funny thing. So we're doing this in front of the audience while we're broadcasting. And Dave, of course, puts on the face and goes, yeah, that's great. But I saw his face before he put on
when
the
face.
When
he smelled it.
No, when he first did the shot. I saw the fleeting look on his face of, oh, dear God, what I put in my mouth.
That was so nasty.
Yes.
Let me just say, it wasn't the best shot in the world.
Right.
But it made an awesome Bacon Mary.
You've been saying that.
I'm not kidding you, Kevin. It was good. The Bloody Marys had awesome after a bacon aftertaste, and it was so good that I had four
Bloody
or five.
Mary with a
four
bacon aftertaste.
Yeah, I had four or five. I don't even remember during the day.
How big was that? Was that bottle you had on Saturday, Dave?
It was 750 milliliters.
Yeah, did you drink it all?
What
is that for Americans?
Gone.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, I saw Dave tweeted at 3 a.m. bacon vodka gone, and I thought that was a lot of vodka to drink in one day.
It's a normal bottle. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, but. It was gone, and, you know, it was a big hit at the after party.
I'm sure it was, just like it was for everybody else.
Yeah.
Here's Dave, by the way, just flying in the face of facts. He's just, everyone there hated it. He's like, oh, that's great.
Everyone hated it straight, but a lot of people dug the Bloody Marys, the bacon Bloody Marys. A lot of people did.
Huh.
I have to admit.
Word.
Hey, speaking of the after party, I heard Tim Armstrong was there from Rancid.
He came and
hung out at the hotel after party, right? Who else was there, Dave?
Audrina.
Mm-hmm. Sure, from the hills, yeah.
Psycho Mike.
Me.
Psycho Mike's friend.
You can't count yourself.
Cat Corbett.
Yeah.
Mm. I heard Jeremy Piven was at the Weenie Roast this year.
He was, yes.
Shane West, of course, from ER. He was there.
Yep.
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah.
Yes. She was there.
The next governor of Louisiana.
That's correct.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, exactly. And is this true that backstage there were people having sex in the porta potty? Please tell me that's not true.
No, you guys. Alex, are you kidding?
Alex, our producer, found me, and she had that look in her eyes, like she was really freaked out. And she said, "You'll never believe what I just saw." She was over by the porta potties, and a guy came out yelling, "Hey, if you're going to have sex in the porta potty, at least keep it quiet," and then walked away.
Oh, no.
Now, I have many questions for whoever that was. And if it was you, or you know who it was, please give us a phone number, because we would love to talk to you. It seems like you would have sex on stage in front of everybody before you would go into a porta potty.
How drunk do you have to be that that's your choice?
How do you not go, let's go behind the porta potty?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Inside the porta potty is the worst idea I've ever heard.
And fairly late in the day, too, by the way.
Yes.
Without getting into too many details. Yeah.
They were not clean.
They were not clean, no.
They were the opposite of clean.
Oh, my God.
This wasn't a brand new, just off the factory line porta potty that was fresh, clean plastic that you were dealing with.
Although we did have many conversations about how that could have happened, and it had to be the girl. Because there's no way a guy could talk a girl into going
if she
in.
She didn't, yeah, you're
she
right.
She said, let's go in here right now. And he said, he probably thought, terrible idea, but all right, let's go.
If that's what it takes.
Yeah. So that was bad.
Oh my God.
I've never heard of that before.
No.
Nope.
We might have to do a call-in topic of the worst
place ever.
Worst place ever.
That's a good idea.
I don't know how you beat porta potty.
I don't either.
It was unbelievable.
I mean, honestly, I think if I have my choice between doing it in the porta potty or in an acid bath, I think I go with the acid bath.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That just is the worst idea ever.
So that was some of the backstage. On stage, best use of Snuggies prize goes to our friends in Weezer, who came out in 150 degrees, yet they came out wearing Snuggies, which was just awesome. And where do you get Snuggies? Like, Rivers had a Snuggie that was leopard skin. Where does something like that even get made?
That's a good question. I don't know.
They don't sell those on the TV, I'll tell you that.
And then Weezer did the best cover I've ever heard, I think. It was unbelievable. They just broke into MGMT Kids, and they went from that into Lady Gaga Poker Face. I have a little clip for you. Control yourself. Take only what you need from it. When they started playing that hook, I thought, wait a minute, well, that's not, I was just discombobulated for a minute. And then I realized, oh, this is MGMT. They're doing a cover. That's awesome.
Well, they sounded great. Can't be mine, no, she
can't read my book. Right into that.
This is when I gave him the finger. Can't be mine, no, she
can't read my book. You know what was weird? It was weird to see, because Rivers, you know, he's an odd little squirrel.
Yep.
He can come out and seem shy and seem like he's uncomfortable to be there, and he's just kind of forcing himself to perform. But he seemed like a regular, normal person on Saturday. Like a regular rock star who was out there just entertaining the crowd and being happy about it and feeling good. And I mean, Dave, you've seen Weezer more than anyone I know.
That had to be
one of the best performances I've ever seen him do, that's for sure.
This was about the best I've ever seen them, the most energetic they've ever been, and they rocked it. You know, they brought
they really
it for
did.
The Winnie Rose.
Can't be mine,
no, she can't read my poker face. Could have done without Poker Face, though.
I got to tell you, I loved it. I mean, if you were to say, Weezer's going to do a cover, I'd like your top 10 guesses as to what it's going to be. You'd never think Poker Face.
Can't escape that damn song.
I thought Rancid was great.
I thought Kings of Leon musically is fantastic.
They don't have much stage presence, those guys.
But they sure
bring the music.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? I was blown away by DJ AM and Travis Barker, too. I don't know how you survive. Either one of those guys, particularly Travis, with how energetic and athletic you have to be to make that happen. How do you survive doing that for an hour and a half?
Yeah, I don't know. But I'll tell you, we were a little bit worried that people would, you know, at the end of the day, you know, people get tired and maybe they'll check out a band for a few songs, but when they're ready to go, they take off. And we were a little bit worried that they were going to do that during Rancid, which very few did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was also worried that people would leave before DJ AM and Travis. And it looked to me like 90% of the people stayed.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was packed.
It was packed, and everyone was loving it.
To reinvigorate a crowd who had been there that long and had been through as much as they had, the way that Travis and DJ AM did, is truly exceptional. I mean, it's a one in a million to be able to really do that to a crowd after that long of a day.
And Travis was working so hard, I wouldn't be surprised if he was too skinny, you know, to even see today. I mean, I don't know how that guy works that hard for that long.
I don't know.
And it's weird because on paper you go, well, the guy's going to come out and play Mamas and the Papas records. How entertaining is that going to be?
Right.
But DJ AM must have mixed. How many songs do you reckon in their set? I mean, it had to be 200 songs together.
That's why I love him. It was ridiculous. That's why I love him, because I have a short attention span. So he'd go into a song like that, and I'd go, wow, sure don't like this song. But boom, it would change in a second. He'd go into something else.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's Michael Jackson, and then it's Metallica. You know, I mean, it's like one right after another. And I can't wait when Travis gets here in the 8 o'clock hour. And I know we're talking all things Blink, but do they rehearse that ahead of time? Who's leading who when it's DJ AM and Travis Barker? How does Travis know where to go, like what the next song is going to be?
They've done that a bunch, and I'm guessing they have a playlist. But
have a set, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they rehearsed.
I got to tell you, that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the crowd, Mike's right, the crowd was jumping up and down.
Everyone was dancing in the aisles. I mean, it was crazy.
That was really good. Really good.
It was a great show, and I got to see you know, two of my favorites that we've been playing on K-Rock the last few months, White Lies and Airborne Toxic Event. I got to see both of them for the first time ever live, so I really had a great time seeing them. And, yeah, it's just everybody was great. Everybody, you could tell everybody was happy to be there. It was a fun time.
Again, I'd like to put out the message for we would need to talk to the people who had sex in the porta potty. I think we need to get to the bottom of that, so to speak.
We do. And Acoustic Christmas information next Monday, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning. How will the Lakers do against Denver? How will Orlando do against Cleveland? We've got an NBA expert coming in after the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. Our old friend Clipper Darrell is going to be joining us. Clipper Darrell, obviously, is a fan of the Los Angeles Clippers, so he has a lot of free time come NBA playoff off. He generally does not have anything to occupy his time. So he's going to turn his attention to maybe some of the professional teams that are still in the tournament. So that's coming up.
Giggity.
Also, Moon Bloodgood on the program today from the Terminator movie, and the reunited Blink 182 joins us. Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you, man?
Good. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? We do it every Monday morning. Angels and Demons in its debut weekend made $48 million. A couple of those dollars were Kevin's.
Yes, they were.
Kevin thought it was not being, okay. Not being good, right? I understand.
I thought it was just all right.
Just okay.
I mean, I don't know. I thought there's a lot there with the Illuminati.
Yeah.
You know, like real, there should be real stuff there. Well, I don't want to give it away, but it wasn't, it left this reviewer cold.
Okay.
There you go. Right. Star Trek was number two, just barely edged out by Angels and Demons this weekend. Made $43 million. X-Men Origins Wolverine was number three. Ghost of Girlfriend's Past came in at number four. Then Obsessed, 17 again. Monsters vs. Aliens, The Soloist, Next Day Air, and Earth rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Well, I lost my beloved Life at the end of the season over there on NBC. I loved that TV series.
Yes.
However, I'm happy to report that Chuck has been renewed. Another one of my favorite shows over on NBC. After much debating, NBC has decided to renew Chuck, which means I get another full season of Yvonne Strahovski. Yes.
She's something.
The Australian super babe that's on that show. Some more TV news. Bones will be back for a fifth season this fall. Fox has just announced they're picking
that up.
Dollhouse has been renewed for another season.
Right on the bubble.
It sure was.
But I like it.
Yeah.
I do too, but I thought it was gone.
The low-rated series has been savaged by the media and was thought to be over, but Daily Variety has announced that it is being renewed for 13 episodes and will return next fall.
Good.
All right.
Castle over on ABC has been renewed for the first-year dramedy Castle. And Better Off Ted also will be brought back on ABC, as will inexplicably Scrubs.
What?
Yeah, they're bringing Scrubs back for another year.
Really?
Without
With
Zach?
Whoever's left.
Huh.
Hmm. I think they might be better off trying to develop a brand new show for that time slot.
Yeah.
Given the fact they're going to lose the majority of their big players, but I don't know. We'll see what they do. Should be interesting.
The one on that list that surprises me the most, Ralph, is Better Off Ted. I'm really surprised to hear that one coming back, because that has not gotten much traction that I can tell.
Look, I think they sometimes feel if they get a little bit of a head start with a second year on a show, maybe they can bring something around rather than coming out of the box with brand new shows, which they're doing plenty of. But ABC's got Cougar Town, starring Courtney Cox, as one of their new shows.
Cougar Town.
They've got a new comedy with Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond called The Middle, about a Midwestern mom.
Okay.
And a Kelsey Grammer comedy called Hank, where he plays a business executive who loses everything and is forced to reconnect with his family. So, I mean, these are the new shows that ABC's got.
Right. Mm.
I think they feel, look, Better the Devil We Know than Hank and The Middle and Cougar Town. Let's get another one of those shows on the air. It's hard. Look, I don't know how difficult it is to run a network. I don't know what the process is like over there. But it seems inexplicable to me that these shows get made and get put on the air. That's the best of all the pilots that they had to choose from, all the scripts they read. It's distilled down to this group of shows. Every year we go through this.
Yeah,
I know enough people.
Agree.
I got enough people on my Facebook that I could put together a season's worth of decent television. Just writers and friends and directors and actors that I know. It just there's a ton of talent in this town.
Yeah.
Where's the filter? What's the problem?
And also every year we always name the shows that are fantastic that end up getting canceled. You know, on top of that.
Yeah, I mean, we do. There are shows that go away that we miss every year. But I think there's a happy medium. I think there's a way to, I mean, some shows are very for a niche audience. We like them because maybe our tastes are a little different than
right.
the average American. But I think there's a happy medium where you can do good television that appeals to a large group of people.
And the happy medium, that's a spinoff of the Patricia Arquette?
Yes,
exactly. Second hour?
It's when she's pleased with herself. It's a happy medium. Speaking of good television, like Celebrity Rehab, for example. That's good television,
it
right?
It is good television.
Our buddy Dr. Drew over there runs that on VH1. Remember Mary Carey?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The former porn star who he tried to clean up and got her sober and had her get in touch with her inner ballet dancer again. And and he said, look, you have to, what was your real name?
I forgot.
They kept using it on the show one time, but you're not Mary Carey
anymore.
Like
Mary Ellen,
or you're this person. And he's kept her out of porn. You have to get out of porn if you want to get in recovery. Well, that's all down the toilet now.
Mm.
Mary has just made her latest film. It'll be released on June the 2nd. It's called Celebrity Porn Hab with Dr. Screw.
Yay!
It's a parody of the Celebrity Rehab show. No word on who's playing Dr. Screw.
Yeah, that's hot.
I hope it's Peter North.
I love Dr. Drew, and I believe he does good work and wants the best for his patients, but I couldn't have disagreed with him more in trying to get Mary Carey out of porn. What's the rush on that?
You don't care about her sobriety, though. He does.
You don't want to get anybody out of porn, really.
Right.
I
do porn, but be sober. That's what she should do.
What she discovered is she needed money.
I think that's
what happened to her.
That presents a problem, too,
yes,
sometimes.
Yes, you can't really make money taking ballet classes.
But if you're broke, then you can't buy drugs or alcohol, when you think about it that way.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. And we still talk about this, we've been talking rather about this Martin Scorsese Frank Sinatra movie.
Right.
That's in the works. New York Post has a new list of potential stars. There was a talk of Leonardo DiCaprio being the choice for Marty to go to play Frank Sinatra in this movie he's directing. However, there is a longer list now, according to the New York Post, with the following actors that all want to be considered for the role. Johnny Depp would like to play Sinatra. James Franco would like to play him. Jake Gyllenhaal. Justin Timberlake has put his hat into the ring.
Interesting.
Mark Wahlberg.
Absolutely.
No.
And Michael Bublé.
Wow.
Would like his shot as well. So all these guys are apparently vying for Scorsese's attention, trying to play Sinatra in the story of his life.
And Kevin James.
Must be nice to be Marty Scorsese, by the way, and have your pick of a bunch of big stars that want to do it.
Frank Sinatra, mall cop. Kevin James wants to play. Today's celebrity birthdays, musician, not former heavyweight champion, Jack Johnson, is 34 years old today. Comedian Tina Fey. Remember her from Saturday Night Live?
Sure.
And she's on the 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
Boy, is that show funny.
It's a good show.
Man, it makes me laugh. 39 years old today. Singer and actress Martika celebrates her 40th birthday today. Chow Yun-Fat.
Hey!
Is 54 years old today. And baseball legend Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, celebrates his 63rd birthday today.
Fine actor in his own right.
That's right. Lethal Gun.
Naked Gun,
right?
I must kill the queen.
That's right. He's walking like a zombie around the talented man. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
When I say K, you say rock. K, rock.
Monday, May 18th, 7:05. K-Rock, baby. 106.7 FM. Tune in. Clipper Darrell's doing a sports report on the morning show of Kevin and Bean.
Clipper Darrell.
Hey, Clipper Darrell. How are you, man?
When I say K, you say rock.
Clipper Darrell.
What's up,
Clipper Darrell has been to 300, if I remember correctly, 347 consecutive home Clipper games. Is that the right number, Clipper Darrell?
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
You know, it's kind of cool because every NBA team has, it seems like they have a Clipper Darrell or two. They have the guys that go crazy and they dress up. Doesn't matter what team it is.
Right.
And they become part of the game because
they're always fixtures. They always get shown on the screen, the whole deal. And but this team doesn't deserve you. We've said this many times. You give them way too much of your attention.
Yeah.
Clipper Darrell is wearing a red satin shirt and a red and blue vest. And a red and blue tie.
Mm-hmm. He's sharp, man. He looks good.
And red and blue shoes and red and blue satin pants.
Yep.
Cedric the Entertainer, you're so right about that. So, Darrell, when the season ended for the Clippers back in, I don't know, February or whenever it was, were you sad or are you relieved to be done with going to see their crappy basketball for another season?
Honestly, I was relieved. I was so happy the season was over.
Yeah.
I mean, 19-win season, it was very hurtful.
That was a very tough, even for a Clipper faithful like you, it was a tough year for you, right?
Oh, most definitely.
Now, you're the kind of a guy that can or cannot watch other teams. Like, are you watching the playoffs or are you just bummed and not into it?
Oh, no, I'm definitely watching the playoffs right now.
Okay.
Because you love basketball.
Oh, yeah, I love basketball.
Yeah. So here's the question that we have all the time. And Kevin was in a similar situation when his Los Angeles Kings that play hockey were eliminated. Now what do you do? The local team is the Ducks, but they're his archenemy. He can't root for the Ducks. How do you handle the Lakers being in the playoffs? Are you able to root for them or can you not because they're against you?
Oh, I'd never root for the Lakers. You know, I wish them the best. You know what I'm saying? Lamar's a good friend of mine.
Oh, that's right. He was on the Clippers for a while.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I wish the Lakers the best, but hey. You know, Clippers always, I bleed red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you will, in other words, you did not root for the Lakers so far in the playoffs. You will not root for them starting this week against the Nuggets.
Definitely not.
Hmm. Who do you like? Who do you like that's left in the hunt?
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, that's who you'd like to see win it all?
Exactly.
Because of LeBron?
Yeah, LeBron. LeBron right now, like Kobe's hungry, but LeBron is starving.
Well, that's true. I mean, Kobe has been there, you know, three times before and has won it, and LeBron hasn't. So, you know, that's going to be a great matchup if the Lakers can get past the Nuggets.
Yeah, it don't look like they might not get past them the way they played against the Houston Rockets.
And if Cleveland can get by Orlando. Oh, wait. That's probably going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's talk about the Lakers versus the Rockets, because right before you walked through the door, Daryl, we were talking to Psycho Mike, who's a Lakers season ticket holder himself, and he said, look, we all knew this was going to happen. We all knew they were going to beat the Rockets, but why did they have to make it so frustrating for us? What was going on in this series where you're down one game by 29, up the next by 40? Why so much inconsistency on the Lakers, do you think?
You know what? Everybody, you know, a lot of people don't realize that you play up to the Lakers. Because you're on a national stage, every general manager, every agent is looking at you. Mm. So people play hard, especially when they're on their home court. And they're going to play hard against, because they know if they play good against Kobe, their money is going to be there for them.
Yeah, that's probably true. And it's a whole different mindset to be the Lakers and to be better than most and then have to keep up at that level. They don't seem to be able to do it.
Exactly.
You know, they kind of knew they were going to win it seventh game, so.
Right.
Sixth game, all right, we're not going to play that good a defense or whatever. You know, it's kind of frustrating. But it's a whole different mindset. You don't get up for teams that are not as good as you. It's difficult.
Exactly. I agree with you 100% on that.
Did you watch all the games?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And you watched all Orlando and Cleveland?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, that hasn't started yet. But.
Exactly. Orlando and
Boston, yeah.
I know you was happy about that, right?
Well, I can't root for Boston.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to see them go.
Okay.
On one hand, but on the other hand, I mean, I really want to see Kobe and LeBron. I mean, I think that is kind of what everybody wants to see. It's a great matchup. Both teams are great. That would be exciting.
Yeah.
But this Cleveland and Orlando matchup is going to be real nice.
I think so, too. But can they beat them? Can Orlando beat them?
Like I said, LeBron is starving. So I think LeBron is going to take it right now.
There are certain people, Kobe is one of them, who can just will their team. Most of the time, they can will their team forward. That's just how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not skill, it's will. That's what they said like 700 times during the playoffs.
If the final that people have been hoping for all season long happens and it's Cavaliers versus Lakers, what do you think the significance of the matchup is there? I mean, what would you look for in that for either team to be able to win?
Defense.
Yeah.
Defense wins championships. Everybody knows that. LeBron, Kobe, if that's the matchup, They're gonna will their teams. They're gonna let their players play a role, and then when they feel like the team is not stepping up, then they will step up. But that's gonna be the best series in NBA lifetime. That's why the NBA is fantastic.
That is gonna be the ultimate matchup, and you got to know that. Then you know the NBA would be super thrilled to have that.
Oh yeah,
you know, be the final, because I don't know how many people want to see Orlando and Denver.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what
exactly,
I mean? In the finals, that just doesn't sound like a very good matchup, but
not at all.
What else is going on in sports that you like?
You know,
do you follow all sports or just the NBA?
You know what? I used to be a big Dodger fan, but you know, when they sold it to the O'Malley's, I mean, when O'Malley sold it to Fox Sports Net, it became a corporate business. I was young. I didn't understand the business world.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped, you know, and when my Rams left when I was a little boy, I was a big diehard Rams fan.
Right.
And when they took off, when she took him over to St. Louis, I stopped looking at football. I have Super Bowl parties at my house every year and don't even look at the game. I like the commercials.
You and I are just the same that way.
How do you give up on other teams like the Dodgers because they change ownership and stick with the owner of the Clippers?
Because when I got older, you know, I understood. I was younger then. That's why, you know, it was like, I mean.
It was a reaction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I relate to the that's how I became a Clipper fan, because, you know, I related to him because we was down and out.
Right.
You know, when I got fired from my job, you know, I was down and, you know, you feel sorry for yourself.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And I turned the TV on, a Clipper game came on,
mm-hmm.
and they said the same thing about them. They said it was horrible. They'd never amount to anything in life. That's what the owner of the business I used to work for told me.
Mm-hmm.
So I related to the Clipper. I said, this is going to be my team, and we're going to rise together. And that's how I've always been.
Oh, okay. And now that you've risen and they haven't, now what?
You know, it's getting harder and harder. You know, being a Clipper fan, it's very, very, very hard right now because of a 19-win season coming off a 23-win season. But I feel they're going to make some changes. You know, I feel in my heart this year, I think Donald Sterling is going to do what he needs to do. Season ticket holders are very upset right now.
I wouldn't be too. I would be too. I mean, it doesn't look like he's doing anything. I mean, he's don't get me started on him.
Yeah, don't you feel that way every year at the beginning?
I don't feel bad for the player. I mean, I do feel bad for the players, and I feel bad for the fans. The only person I don't feel bad for is Donald Sterling because I think he's screwing all of them.
I think right now they're waiting for this lottery pick for tomorrow.
Right.
And they're going to see where they're going to go from
and
there.
And they'll trade it for some lower picks and not much.
You know,
Daryl, did you drive the Clippermobile down here today?
Most definitely.
Oh, good. Good. We got to get a picture. We have to get a picture of Daryl in the parking lot with his car to put it up on the website because it is amazing to see these guys. It really is.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you predict that the Lakers will beat Denver to make it to the finals, and you predict that Cleveland will beat Orlando, and that's going to be the dream matchup, and it's actually going
to
happen.
No, that's the matchup that you wanted to have.
It is.
You know, I would like to see Denver beat the Lakers, but you know, for the NBA, mm-hmm. I would like to see the Lakers and Cavs because then it shows when LeBron comes out and beat Kobe mm-hmm. in Game 6
yeah.
because the Cavaliers will beat the Lakers in Game 6.
Oh, okay. So that's your prediction if they get
okay.
all the way.
Now we got it.
Cavs in right. 6.
Cavs in 6. Now, if it goes 7, it's the Lakers.
Okay.
But if it goes 6 games, it's going to be the Cavaliers.
All right, I'd like to put some money some credits with you, if you don't mind.
You know what? I don't bet money.
You don't bet. All right.
I don't bet money.
What do you bet?
But you know what? I will bet
those clothes.
Exactly.
I want to see you in those clothes.
What I would bet you,
yes.
you got to come to a Clipper game.
Nope.
And dance in the aisle with me.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Wow.
If you do that.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
But wait. Now,
all right.
If Kevin wins, are you going to come to a Laker game and dance in the aisle?
Yes.
I mean, I already did it once before because I lost a bet to Brian Shaw.
Right.
So I had to wear a Laker jersey.
You had to wear a Laker jersey. Right, exactly.
So you're telling me I have to cheer? Do I have to cheer for the Lakers or I just have
to? Well, I'm dancing in the aisle.
Okay.
Which is not a normal thing for me.
No.
Usually I reserve my dancing for, you know, the nightclubs. But, wow. But what are you going to give me then? I mean, I got to get something from you.
Okay, whatever
I'm not
you
gonna
want.
Come to a all right.
Whatever you want. What you want?
You come to a Laker game.
Okay.
And
dance in the aisle.
Dance in the aisle.
Got to make it fair.
You got
it. Yeah, make it the same thing. But here's the thing that concerns me, and I want to make sure this is fair for Daryl, and that is that his prediction has to hit right on. It has to be Cleveland in 6 or Lakers in 7, otherwise Kevin wins. I mean, if Cleveland wins in 5, is there no
– How dare you, first of all?
Well, or the Lakers win in 5. I'm just saying then there's no payoff for either guy.
I think
so. You're not betting on who wins the series. You're just betting on what, right?
I think that's too specific. I don't think
– Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah. You just want to bet on the series and have Daryl be Cleveland. UBLA in the event that those two make it to the finals?
And if they don't, then we're not dancing anywhere because Orlando.
Then there's no dancing, right?
Orlando
just flying to Denver and just going on a mandate.
That way we're either going to Orlando or Denver, and I'm not going to do either of those.
All right, so that's the bet that we'll make. So somebody's going to be dancing in somebody's house next year. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, all right. It sounds like a good plan.
All right, Daryl. Well, listen, man, thanks for putting on the outfit and coming in today. It's nice to finally meet you in person after talking to you on the phone for so many years, man. We really appreciate you stopping by.
I appreciate you having me.
You are the best, but I'm sorry that you're going to be dancing a Laker game. You know?
Never.
You know what I mean?
It's never.
Good. I'm sorry for that.
This Laker and Denver matchup, woo! Y'all going to have a run for your money.
Oh, I know. I know. I hear you. But then when they get past them, it's you and me.
Oh, yeah.
All the way. All right, man. You're the best. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Blink-182 coming up at the top of the hour. Right now it's 7:27.
Very smooth. It's a Monday morning of the Kevin and Bean Show. How about Green Day for a special show at a tiny, tiny place? Just be, I don't know, just be color 20 when you hear us play a Green Day song. It could happen at any time. In fact, will happen this hour.
Hope some of your students are listening, Kevin. That's all I hope. All of your students are listening.
Bean has not heard the story yet. So I told him you were going to come in and tell him a story that made your head explode about Weenie Rust.
I haven't heard this one.
Kevin and I were, this was shortly after our broadcast on the day of Weenie Roast, and we were down talking to some listeners, and we were signing stuff that people had programs or t-shirts, whatever, and we were signing stuff. And this beautiful, I mean seriously beautiful, I don't know, 21, 22-year-old Latina comes up, just long, silky, full raven hair and just the caramel color skin, beautiful dark eyes, and she comes up. She's got just for a beeline on Kevin, just a beeline. And so she comes up to him and says, "You are the greatest English teacher ever. I am moved of this country only 2 years ago, but I learned how to speak all my English from you, Kevin."
Hold on. Ralph's standing right next to me. He wasn't really paying attention, but that got him, and he dove right in. He was yelling at her. What?
Wait a minute. You learned how to speak English from this guy? Yes, I listened to the radio, and Kevin teaches me how to speak English. I said, oh, you are so screwed.
But she doesn't know that.
I said, do you love ducks long time all the time, them? And she's like, I don't know what you mean.
That's awesome. So basically, she's unemployable.
She learned to speak the language because she listens to me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Well done.
And at first, I heard her say, you know, you're the best English teacher ever. I said, maybe Kevin used to be like a substitute teacher. Maybe this is one of his students or something.
Nope.
And then she said, no, she listens to the show every morning, and that's how she learns English.
She's a student of the Kevin and Bean Show. And I am instructing her on how to use the language.
Professor Kevin, teaching teaching poor, unexpecting
The poor girl was
immigrants to our country how to speak English.
She still didn't have a great grasp of the language, hard to believe.
And she never will.
With me as her teacher.
Uses you
but Ralph
as
kept,
a template.
Ralph kept asking her questions. He was like berating her. What? How could you possibly say that?
Do you have any relatives here or friends? Can't you? Don't they give you advice? Don't you go to a real school?
Sometimes I have trouble putting words together in the right order.
I already speak English, and I need a translation half the time to know what Kevin's talking about. This poor woman starting from scratch. What up?
That was my favorite moment.
That's not good.
Speaking of speaking English, how about our friend Mole on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show? Hey, Mole, what's going on, man?
Kevin and Bean, you know who it is?
Yes, it's Mole.
Yeah. It's Mole.
Oh, hey, Lisa, man.
Hi, Mole.
Hey, you guys, I finally made it to the hot dog show. That was awesome. I got to tell you, it was really lame and confusing.
What does that mean, lame and confusing?
The show, the hot dog show.
It's Weenie Roast. Weenie Roast, right?
Yeah, I went to... Okay, let me tell you what happened to me.
All right, okay.
Okay, you know how some people make those reefer cookies?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. I do the same thing, sort of, except I make jumbo blueberry muffins.
Right.
Okay, so I had a couple jumbo blueberry muffins.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I went down to the Verizon store in Irvine.
Right. That's...
And I timed the muffins, and boom, they kicked in.
Right.
Right when I was there at the store.
It was...
Then the guy who works at the store, the lead singer from Weezer.
Nope.
He tells me he's going to hook me up with a deal on a pair of Blackberry Storms.
Right.
So
okay.
I'm just telling him I want to hear that Beverly Hillbilly song. And he's all like, well, okay, let me check. Give me your social security number. I'll check your credit score.
Wait a minute. Well, first of all, it wasn't the Verizon store. It was the Verizon Amphitheater in Irvine.
Okay, well, then explain to me why Rivers Cuomo kicked me out of the backstage area.
I'm guessing it wasn't him.
Okay, well then, when I went to the side stage, why was it a lamp store?
Okay. It probably wasn't Weezer. It was probably just a guy with horn-rimmed glasses who worked at the store, and you were in the wrong location.
Okay, I was in the lamp store, and then this Mexican girl told me I was the greatest English teacher in the world.
Well, then it sounds like you were at the Weenie Roast. That did happen.
I got to get a new personal assistant. This guy is not working
out.
You
have a personal assistant?
Well, he's like a Filipino or an Alaskan or some kind of guy who lives under my car.
How does somebody live under your car?
It's a Chevette. Hey, okay. It's a vet. It's still a vet.
Right. True.
All right, well, we're sorry that you didn't get to the same place we were.
Hey, if you guys want to borrow this guy, he's really cool. He can open beer with his taint.
Yes, we do. We would like to borrow him.
All right. Hey, was the scary robot lady from Yeah 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 there?
Yes,
she was. She was actually very good.
Oh, man, the blueberry muffin's kicking in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. It's time to talk to the Reverend Speaker Gerald Polly, who's one of our favorite guests. He is in constant communication with God, speaks for him.
Right.
And they speak for everyone in heaven. Apparently, everybody in heaven can speak through them. Kurt Cobain's been writing songs. Linda's been recording them. So they're a conduit, if you will.
Exactly.
And I'd be willing to bet that a lot of people who are tuning in now to expect, as we were, Moon Bloodgood from Terminator Salvation are not going to be at all disappointed. That's how awesome the speaker is. Mr. Polly, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good to talk to you. How are you feeling?
I'm okay. We wish Linda was.
Yeah, I know. Your lovely wife, Linda's got some trouble with her legs. You guys are going to the doctor today?
Yeah, we're heading to the hospital. Yeah.
There's Linda on the phone. Great. Fantastic.
Hi.
Well, the reason we wanted to have you on, and we appreciate you jumping on with a short notice, is we know you're in contact with the heavens, and a lot of people were shaken up literally about this earthquake that happened last night, and you've got some insight into maybe what God's trying to tell us with this latest earthquake in Southern California.
Well, yes, he apologizes to Los Angeles. He was aiming for San Francisco. But these things are pretty hard to control.
All right, listen. Gerald has a tiny problem with gay people.
A little bee up his bonnet.
just a bit. But, Gerald, let me ask you a question. God wanted you to run for president.
Yeah, he still does.
He still does. Okay. And that didn't work very well.
No.
Okay, and then there was an earthquake in Southern California, and you're saying that he just missed.
He missed, yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like he's very adept.
Hard to aim. He keeps talking about causing a 13.6 in San Francisco, but I don't think that's even possible.
Well, aren't all things possible with God, Gerald?
Wouldn't he know whether it's possible or not?
Well, probably he knows whether it's possible or not, but I wouldn't want to be in San Francisco.
Well, no, but I mean, I know you're a deeply religious man, Reverend Speaker. I mean, he caused a flood in the Bible. Why couldn't he cause any size earthquake that he wanted? Why couldn't he blot out the sun if he wanted? I mean, he's God. Can't he do anything?
Well, there are limits. He will admit that. He could blot out the sun. You know, he could put something in orbit that would block out the sun and freeze the earth solid, but that would kind of defeat his purpose. He wants mankind to survive. He doesn't want them to become popsicles.
All right.
Okay. So God was trying to create an earthquake in San Francisco and missed by about 400 miles and hit LAX, basically.
Boy, was it right under the airport?
It was like two miles away. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Are there going to be more, Gerald? A lot of people, you know, they start to get nervous. You know, that there are already still some aftershocks. People are wondering, you know, are things shaking up? Are we heading toward the big one? What do you think?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they start moving north.
Okay.
So that's good news for Southern Californians. Apologize to our Fresno listeners, but it's coming your way.
So it's just a matter of trying it again and again and again before he gets it right.
That's the basic idea.
Gerald, let me ask you a question. This is not meant to be insulting, but is it possible that it's not God that hates gay people, but it's you?
Well, God doesn't hate them, and I don't hate them.
Oh, Gerald.
We just disapprove of what they do.
Okay.
You know, it's not a matter of hate.
Okay.
I keep telling people this. God does nothing in hate.
Okay.
He would much rather have these people, you know, stop doing this or do it in private. And so we would have no problem with them. The only problem we have with them is when they start doing it in public and encourage children and try to get it into schools.
So
if they would just keep it at home, we wouldn't have a problem with them.
They just go back in the closet. That'd be better.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Is this why God is telling you that you need to be the final guest on Jay Leno's Tonight Show this week?
He wants that so bad. I know it would never happen, but he would love to have it. He would love to be the last guest on the show so Jay could say, top this, Conan.
Yes.
So Gerald comes out on the couch. Gerald and Linda come out. They're the final guests on Jay Leno's last Tonight Show. And
I have no idea. We would probably talk about, you know, the problems that we're having, Jesus deserting mankind and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Jesus deserted mankind because of what?
Because of the election and that he was rejected by those that God sent into the world to serve him.
I see.
Not just
right.
The common people, but the special people that were sent here to do special jobs refused to do them because of the homosexual movement.
And you know, it's so funny. You can go to the website, the Pauly's website, voicesfromspirit.com. You can't believe the volume of material that Gerald generates every single day. I mean, you know how they always joke that Stephen King can write a book as fast as you can read one?
Yeah.
Gerald Pauly must be writing 100,000 words a day. It's shocking to me how much stuff you're coming up with, Gerald. How do you even keep a job and keep up with everything you write?
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
I know,
right? You know, poor Linda, I can't write myself. I have to dictate everything to her.
Wow. Why can't you write?
I have dyslexia.
Oh, okay.
The part of my brain that controls writing simply doesn't function.
Okay.
Oh, all right. So, Linda, all of these 10,000-word emails are things that you've typed out that your husband has dictated to you?
Right.
Wow. And Linda, doesn't he spend, like, most of his day firing off angry letters to the First Lady of California or the President of France? I mean, he, like, writes letters to everybody, right?
Yeah, but it's usually only in the mornings from, like, between 7 and 9 o'clock.
There's no way he gets all that done between 7 and 9 o'clock.
Yep, definitely.
He writes a book a day. And we were complaining about this last time. We said, how about a little brevity? And Gerald wrote me an email the next day saying, Kevin, you might want to just break it up into parts. Read the first paragraph and then think about it for a day and then read the second paragraph. But that would take me for the rest of my life.
So, Linda, how is it you're able to stay in such good humor and accommodate your husband's wishes? I mean, don't you just want to turn to him and say, how about taking a day off and shutting the F up?
No, I kind of look forward to it. You never know, except plus I don't like the bad news, which it usually is lately, but no. Right. You know, I'm used to the schedule now.
But you don't ever say to him, just stop it. just for a day, if you could just stop.
I wouldn't dare to say that to God.
To God, right.
Because he'd hit you again, right? Well, listen, we always say this, and it's so wonderful that there's a pot for every lid, as they say. It's so amazing that you two found each other. I mean, we're happy that you did. God forbid either of you goes first. You need to go in a mutual murder suicide pact. Otherwise, what? The other one's going to be miserable.
That's wrong.
I'll tell you about it.
All right, listen, Gerald. Before we go, next earthquake. When will it happen? Where will it be? And what size will it be? According to your God sources.
I can't exactly tell you when, but it should be further to the north.
Okay.
Further north.
Closer to the coast.
Closer to the coast. Okay, so that's good news for perhaps Southern California. All right, well, we know you have a busy day. Good luck at the hospital, Linda. I hope everything works out with your leg, sweetheart.
And I wanted to comment that we're so glad we found you guys.
Well, that's nice of you.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Thank you.
We love you guys. You have a great day out there in North Dakota, okay?
Okay.
And Linda, thanks. Linda, what's your website again?
Oh, how are you going to come and Linda like that? Kevin and Bean Show, Monday morning. How about the reunion of Blink-182, ladies and gentlemen? How about that happening in our studio for the first time in a number of years together on this radio station, happening up right after the top of the hour? Very excited about that. Love those guys and happy that they're back. Ralph Garman, ready for some showbiz beat?
Let's do it! Let's do it live!
Take a look at the top 10 movies. This weekend, as we do every Monday morning, Angels and Demons, as expected, number one, $48 million made it so in the Tom Hanks sequel. Getting mixed reviews from viewers and critics alike, but it managed to pull in almost $50 million over the weekend. Star Trek did pretty well for itself, too. Made $43 million, making it number two at the box office. Then Wolverine came in at number three. Ghosts of Girlfriends Past and Obsessed rounded out the top five. Then we have 17 again at number six, Monsters vs. Aliens. The Soloist,
I only got two strings on my viola.
And Next Day Air and Earth rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking, I know I love my sweet Zach and all, but who's waking up this weekend going, yeah, let's go see that 17 again movie with all the great movies that are out and all the stuff that's come out since that? Who's just getting around to seeing that one?
Good question.
Shut-ins?
Maybe, yeah.
Finally, the van pulled up and they all get in. Go catch up at the theater. Speaking of movies, the very first of the Universal Hasbro films is being made. For those who don't know, Hasbro, who makes toys and board games, had a deal with Universal Pictures to develop movies based on several of its board games. Ouija Board, Candyland, Monopoly. Well, Battleship, the movie, is going into production.
No.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Peter Berg.
Really?
Is the director of Battleship.
Because I like him.
Well,
I
do too. Lisa, then you're going to love the game-based naval adventure coming to you from Universal Pictures.
Is this for kids?
Nope.
How does it work? Someone plays the game and then it happens in real life in the ocean?
You sank my battleship.
Oh, man.
You stuck a peg in K7.
I don't know. It's I don't know.
That doesn't sound
good. Nope.com.
I guarantee it's going to be better than Ouija board the game.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Or Candyland or Chutes and Ladders, whatever else they got up the pipeline.
Wow.
I'm waiting for Scrabble. That's the game. That's the movie I want.
Ridley Scott is reportedly developing the Monopoly movie. So we got that to look forward to.
What's happening?
They're out.
He's not doing that.
Ridley Scott is developing Monopoly.
Not happening.
I guess McGee's plate was full.
Nope.com.
Wow, those are all bad ideas.
And you won't believe who's a giant Bruce Springsteen fan. Bruce Springsteen hugged this girl recently backstage at a concert, and it reduced her to tears. She was so excited. Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is one of the world's biggest Bruce Springsteen fans.
Would not have pictured that at all.
I would not have either.
Isn't that a surprise? She said when she was a little girl, her and her dad used to dance to Thunder Road. He introduced her to Springsteen, and she says, I love him so much. Huge Bruce Springsteen fan. Okay. I'm telling you, we don't know. We don't know.
Well, we kind of know. We don't know. We know.
But that was pre-nose job.
Yeah, we know.
Oh.
So we don't know.
Dude. All right.
You don't know.
Dude.
You don't know.
The results are in.
There's so much makeup and masks and things.
But that means something. She's
shields
hiding.
And helmets. And she wears a lot of things that cover up her face.
She was wearing the Boba Fett glasses, okay? They covered up her face.
Right.
But she had an outfit that kind of was sheer and it exposed her upper body. And I don't care what her face looks like. It's nasty, bro. Like, niggity, niggity, nasty.
All right, bro.
She has fupa, muffin top, A cups that are hidden by her barrel chest. It's bad news.
All right.
I think she about to pull something out of her pants.
I think so, too. Okay. All right. Like I said, I didn't have enough information, but apparently Mike's been doing some research.
Yes, he has.
He's got very strong opinions about this. Let's get to today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Country stringer George... What?
Right.
Country singer George Strait is 57 years old today. Anyone? Anyone? George Strait? Anyone?
No. Moving what do you want to know?
Moving on.
He did that stick my American boot up your ass song.
No, that was him. No. He said, stick my American belt around your neck, I think was his. Chow Yun-Fat.
Hey!
Is 54 years old today. Comedian Tina Fey from Saturday Night Live and 30 Rock turns 39. Jack Johnson celebrates his 34th birthday. And Mr. October himself, baseball legend Reggie Jackson, celebrates his 63rd birthday. Think he'll go into the Hall of Fame? He's in the Hall of Fame already.
I think he's already in the Hall of Fame.
Should be, yeah. Yeah. Maybe sit down with Manny and have a conversation about female hormones. See how that goes. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Yeah, my girlfriend takes me home and I took up to try. Because when I'm with you, there's nothing I wouldn't do. I just want to be your only one. My friends say I should act my age. What's my age again? I couldn't wait.
Back together for the first time in more than 4 years, ladies and gentlemen. It's the return of the Mark Travis and Tom Show. Blink-182 joins us in the studio.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, guys.
Wow, we wrote a lot of songs in that little montage there.
You did.
That we have seen all of you multiple times in the last 4 years, but it's so great to see all of you back together again in the same room. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And this is kind of like our hometown in a way here. K-Rock has always been... I always hear Blink songs when I drive to Los Angeles. It's great. So thank you guys for having us.
I was thinking back a long, long ways to the, 1993 or 94, something like that. I remember you guys played in the old building that we used to be in over in the Valley. And you guys set up and performed live during the show one day. And remember how crowded and crappy that station was? Remember how tight it was in there? And you guys brought in the big amps and everything like that. And I think Travis was playing drums back by the jock lockers or something. And it was so loud in there. And it was so great. And I remember how much fun that was. I was like, I can't believe Blink-182 is playing in our office right now.
Yeah. Salespeople are walking by, hitting cymbals.
I know.
That wasn't good. All right. Let's start with this. I am a body language expert, just so you guys know. The TV show Lie to Me.
Right.
based on me. Mm-hmm. Here was you at the Grammys.
We used to play music together, and we decided we're going to play music together again.
Blink-182 is back.
Now, it's not possible for you three to have been more spread out on the stage.
Well, let me address this, because I've actually...
You guys were yelling, hey!
Here's what happened, right. Is we show up at the Grammys, and Travis and I were there like an hour before we were supposed to go on, and the people from the Grammys kept coming up and saying like, all right, you guys got to get ready, we got to take you to the holding area, you guys got to get ready. And Tom... They sent a car for him that never showed up.
Good.
And they were like,
I'm important.
Maybe they do. Maybe they didn't want you there.
And literally, the lady was like, if you guys don't have a full band in 30 seconds, we have to cut you from the show. Oh. And at that time, Tom walked right in. Uh-huh. They're like, oh, we got to get you to the stage. So they rush us over to the stage and put us in this holding area. And they're like, okay, now they're going to do this thing. And when I say go, you walk out and you walk up to the microphone, and you start talking. All right, and go. And so.
So was that fast?
So it's like everyone's clapping. And then we walk out there and there's no podium. There's no like woman standing, beautiful woman with a statue or anything. It's like.
You didn't win a Grammy.
I was beautiful.
And there's no microphone. And I'm walking around the stage wondering where we're supposed to go, and I'm looking at camera people for some help, and I almost walk directly into the microphone that's like the Bob Barker microphone coming straight up out of the thing.
Like 10 times talk. You know what I remember was weird is when we walked out, I swear people thought we were like the crew dudes coming out there to change. I mean, no, because it was like the way they filmed those shows for TV, because it wasn't... Was it live or not? I don't know how it was, but there.
Yes, it's live.
But they have all the music comes on and comes down. They direct the audience, but it's in an arena, so it's like massive,
right?
And so the music came down. They're changing people. We walk out, and I think people are so confused as to what's happening. It really was odd.
So you didn't hate each other at that moment.
The funny thing is, like, we were backstage, like, hugging and high-fiving each other and, kissing, like, getting all teary-eyed and, like, oh, can't wait to do this. And then we get out there and have no idea what we're doing and are just deer in the headlights.
It wasn't anger. It was confusion.
It was absolute, abject confusion.
Glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that.
There was so much, I mean, you guys, you know, pretty active online and interacting with your fans. I mean... But I think you have to have even been surprised with how happy people were to hear the announcement. Not that they didn't still love each of you individually and follow all of your respective music projects and stuff like that, but people really, really wanted this to happen. Didn't you get that feeling?
I did. I think that, like, I think people, I don't, you know, I talk about it every day to whoever will listen. I can't comprehend the size of this band or the importance to, I think, people's life as they're growing up. Because I remember when Mark and I and Travis were doing it, I mean, we really were just out there trying to have a little bit of self-anarchy and make as much fun of people and do as many crazy things as we can, because we couldn't believe the band was popular as it was. We were just like, really, it started out and becoming gigantic at exactly what it was, which was just, you know, just three little punk rock kids. And then in retrospect, I look back, go, my God, it's like, what a career. And I'm still blown away by it's nostalgic, I think, and for sure. But I don't know. I guess I'm mumbling right now. It trips me out.
I would imagine it would. I mean, it's hard for anyone to imagine when they start a band that it's going to become all that and be that big. But.
Now, let me ask you, Travis, because I know we've talked to you a bunch of times over the years. Is this something you thought was going to happen, or were you as surprised as anybody when you three finally started getting serious about reuniting?
No, I was surprised as anybody.
Really? You really, at one point, you'd written it off as ever being a possibility.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was, it must have been 5 or 4 years since, you know, we had spoken to Tom or whatever. And you know, things just happen, you know. People come and go, and we happen to, you know, just reconnect, and this happened.
And I was reading in Billboard, and was it your accident that kind of got everybody thinking about getting back together? Is that what?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple things. If we were chicks, it probably wouldn't have come back together. You know, girls are like so gnarly. Like, they would never let the stuff just go. But dudes are like, you know, dude, it's cool. Forget it. And, like, the funny thing, yeah, I think after, for me personally, because I was obviously doing my own thing from these dudes, the accident – I think as angry as we probably were at each other, it was all stupid anyways. And it was all usually hearing stuff through 10 people to each other, you know?
Somebody else said that they heard someone say that.
Yeah, you know. Right. And I think we all did some stupid stuff too anyways, you know, during that time, just because you're probably bent out of shape out of it. But when you're in a band, you're kind of family, you know?
You want to know how really honestly childish it was?
Yes.
Is that there were certain points on tour, like, it was so high school and junior high that, like, people wouldn't sit with each other at the catering table. Like,
really? I, wow. Whenever I sat down, I put duct tape around me. No one can enter that area.
I,
no,
like
I actually did that to my brother one time when I was growing up.
Can't look you in the eye? What?
When I was a kid, me and my brother shared this big room, so I was like, I took duct tape and I taped it all the way through the floor, but I made like a green zone near the closet because we both needed to get in that area.
Sure, yeah. That's the peace zone and everything else is stay out.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's good.
But then you grow up a little bit and you get some clarity, and then as you know, you mentioned Travis, you know, then something life-changing happens and you realize, wow, what's really important and what's not, and what's really important to your bros. And that's why, I guess, that
your
was
bros
the impetus.
And your hose.
And, yeah, and your hose. And never forget your hose.
Right. Please not forget the hose.
Blake, what 182 is here. If you're just joining us, and we want to say hi to people listening and watching worldwide as we stream this interview on krock.com right now. And,
hello, worldwide web.
And you guys have a very, very busy summer coming up, including, as I understand it, 50 tour dates that are going on sale at 10 o'clock on the 30th. 50 tour dates across the United States.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And we're going to try something new. We're going to try and bring all those people to our location because I just don't want to travel.
Yeah, I can see that. It's kind of a hassle.
And to add just a little, we're going to play well at about 25 of them. So, you know, hit or miss could be your
city.
That's
fun. That's the game.
That's right, the game.
The last 25, would you guess? I mean, you've got to work out the kinks.
That's
or
a, I'm
never
not
know.
Saying when. Okay. We're going to choose them at random. And hopefully, you know, that's the game.
So you're, but this isn't dipping your toe into the shallow end. I mean, if you're scheduling 50 shows, then that, you're committed. You're locked in now. As P. Diddy would say, you are locked in.
Yes. Let's go. With lots of exclamation points all in caps, as P. Diddy would say.
I really need to take a minute and apologize. Like, it's funny because for the past few years, I've been like doing all this kind of like serious stuff, and then the very first song we come out and we play there tonight, I asked the audience if they masturbate to Lord of the Rings.
Excellent.
And I think
he's back.
And I had no
he's
idea. It's insane because I spent the entire night throwing up in the fetal position on the floor of the back. I was so wasted. But you know, when it's kind of like, you know, when Mel Gibson got drunk and he started doing all that like racist
sure.
stuff,
oh, yeah.
And then he comes out and he's like, "Dude, the alcohol." No, you know, I think that's what happens. You know, at least with me, I got drunk and it all came out. I just wanted to say so many bad words. Well, I was able to do it. So I'm looking forward to the tour for that reason. To say, I've
because you can
guys.
Say bad words.
Yeah, and these guys have actually been very tolerant over the years of bad words, except for the one time when I was going off about having sex with dead bodies in front of 20,000 people.
Yeah, that's. A lot of people don't find that funny.
No.
Yeah.
But I was talking about the bodies exhibit, which is more sophisticated.
Oh, right.
It is, yeah.
The traveling.
And, ooh, artistic.
Artistic.
Now, you guys have creative tour names. Is there one for this one?
You know what? I got a text last night. If we had a name for it, for someone that needed something, and I don't think we actually agreed on it. I had a pretty rad idea for one, but I don't think we ever agreed on anything, and I don't think it's part of
the Well, we'll take some calls. How about that?
Nice segue. Segue into the let's take some calls.
If you have an idea for a band name, I mean for a tour name, for Blink-182, they have a band name, tour name. go ahead and give us a call if you want to ask the guys a question. And all three members of Blink-182 are here, and we'll be right back. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it is. How about Blink-182 being with us here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
This is
We're
great.
Take your calls in a moment at 1-800-520-1067. Question for Travis Barker, who, along with his good friend DJ AM, headlined our Weenie Roast show on Saturday night. How are you able to lift your arms today? That's my question for you. After watching that performance, that was unbelievable to see in person, Travis.
Oh, thank you so much. We had a great time. That was such a fun show. So good to
I mean,
be back.
You know, I've seen the videos and I've heard you on talking about what you and DJ AM do together. But to see it in person, I mean, I just I can't believe how entertaining it was to watch, which is not something I would expect because it's really, you know, a guy playing records and another guy playing drums. But unbelievable to watch. And I don't know how you are able to stay in sync with him like that, like how you're able to know what he's going to play and give the appropriate drum fills. I mean, you guys must rehearse like a mother effer.
Yeah, lots of rehearsal, lots of jamming.
Do you have a set list that he goes through every time? Or?
Yeah, I mean, once we get ready for a show, we kind of have songs that we know we're going to go into. It's just a question of how long and keeping eye contact. And
You guys I mean? Went from Metallica to Michael Jackson, and I don't think that's ever happened in history.
Yeah.
That was pretty strong.
You got to think about it.
I went from Metallica to Michael Jackson.
It was really. I saw you guys for the first time, and I freaked out too. I thought it was really cool and totally different than what I was expecting as well.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I told Travis right afterwards, and And I think for them to up the ante, we had some conversations about me doing dancing that basically goes along with the whole set, you know, because they just need that extra little thing. So I'm going to be doing a lot of interpretive stuff, but right on cue.
That's great. I like it.
What would be even better is if we convinced you that it was all going to be CGI and you had to wear one of those like body suits with the ping pong balls on them.
I'm already wearing it.
Blink 182 is in our studio. Of course, they've got a big tour all the way across America. Starting off very soon. Tickets go on sale May 30th for all dates through LiveNation.com. When you started getting together last week for the rehearsals, was it tough to remember some of the songs, or do they all pretty much come back to you because you've played them so often?
Well, Mark had a lot of issues with one song in particular where I won the bet over the chorus, but we're not going to get into that.
I was convinced that that there was chorus vocals, lead vocals in the first chorus of I Miss You, and I was horribly, horribly wrong.
Really? That's
funny. I'd like to go on, you know, national radio and admit it to everybody. Right. I'm sorry.
Do you have to relearn your parts? Does that ever happen where you're like, hey, I don't remember the guitar solo in this one. What's that sound like?
Tom.
you know, it's so great. It's like I was born with the rock inside me. So even if I don't play the right parts.
You're born with a rock inside.
No, that's weird.
I was born rock hard inside me.
How much do you change it up? Is that what you're saying? Is you just no matter what you play it, kind of what's interesting? Make it fit.
It's fast and loud I don't know. We just kind of it's not like the most complicated stuff, but I think the way we play it, whether we're playing the right notes or not, comes off fine.
You know? Some songs have really like snapped into place immediately. Like there's some songs that we go and play it without even practicing it or referencing it at all, and we go through it perfectly the first time through. And then there's other times when there's some changes that we've forgotten or things that we used to do live that we're trying to redo live that like we are different from the album, and so we go back and address those. So that's an actual answer to an actual question.
Wow, how about that? Awesome. I don't know how to handle that. That's right. We're going to go to some calls here at 1-800-520-1067. You guys need a name for your tour. Now, what are some of the ones you've had in the past?
Poo Poo Pee Pee Tour.
There's that one.
Poo Poo Pee Pee.
That's the famous. That was the Rock Around Uranus Tour.
Race Around Uranus.
Race Around Uranus, yes. Yeah. We had Mark, Tom, and Travis show. We had the one with the flaming F-word sign. I don't know what that one was called. But.
We had the F-word on fire, thinking it was awesome. And then we also wanted our name Blink on stage. When we got there, it said F-Blink. We didn't realize that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, some of these that people are calling in with, I don't even know if we can put them on the air, to tell you the truth.
Well, some of them we can.
Let's one of them called Go Back to Hating Each Other Tour?
It isn't, but that's a good one. Let's go.
That was great.
Thanks for calling. That's not what it said on there, so I didn't know that's what it's.
Let's try Jake on line 5. Yeah, this sounds like
we should really
be writing these down.
Though.
You should go with that.
We should really go with that.
That is a good one. Right. Well, wait to hear what Jake has got. This has a very Blink feel to it. Hi, Jake. You're on with the boys. Go ahead.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
One-way ticket to Boneville tour.
I like that.
One-way ticket to Boneville.
I actually think that's actually really good.
All right. I knew that one would appeal to Tom.
I want to go there.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Let's try Kenny on line 8, please. Kenny, thanks for calling the Kevin Beach Show. You're on with Blink 182. What should they call their tour?
Well, I think that they should call their tour the Mr. McSteezy Tour.
The Mr. McSteezy Tour.
S-T-E-E-Z-Y.
That's great.
Is that a reference to something in particular, or just a name you find funny?
Well, I live in the East Coast, and it's a term that we use around here a
lot. All right, so it's a local East Coast term.
That's perfect.
I don't think that tops One Way to Boneville, though.
I think One Way Ticket to Boneville.
Kenny, you failed. By the way, speaking of the tour, getting a ton of emails from people who are watching online and listening through the stream that are asking about other countries. Ali just wrote in from the UK, heard from other people throughout Europe. What's the plan for worldwide domination for Blink 182 in 2009?
Well, we just booked this tour that goes to the US and Canada, and then when we get back from this, we will address the rest of the world. We really want to play for everybody and get everywhere and do the thing.
We're dying to do the thing.
We like doing stuff, and we like to do stuff everywhere in the world. So,
well, there's the name of your tour right there, the Doing Stuff Tour.
There's just lacking some conveniences in other parts of the world. It's a political issue more than it is just a traveling issue. Yeah. As soon as they open a few more 5-star resorts and the people start brushing their teeth over there. I think. Oh,
well, you're making friends all over the world.
You know what I'm talking about.
Of course.
I
want you to call out a country in particular. Who are you talking about?
Who specifically?
What country?
I'm absolutely only referring to the Taliban right now.
Okay. No, all right. Can you guys stick around for one more break? Do you mind?
Yeah, totally.
Sure. Okay, great.
And I tell you what, we'll clear the lines on the tour names if you have any.
I really do like One-Way Ticket to Boneville.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good, yeah.
That sounds like a Bob Dylan tour.
If you do have other actual questions for Blink-182, speak now or forever hold your peace. 1-800-520-1067. We'll continue more with the guys right after this.
You are listening to K-Rock, and it is 8:42.
It's Kevin Amin Show. Blink-182 is here. Yes, Mark, you were going to say.
I'm just amazed at it's 8:42 in the morning and so many lines have been crossed. Like, I never thought at this point in the morning we would have broached so many just upsetting subjects.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah. Lisa says that every day. Yeah. All right, before we go back to some more calls, by the way, Blink-182 tour goes on sale on the 30th through LiveNation.com all over America.
At 10 a.m.
10 a.m., right, yes. You guys are going to be on the Tonight Show, as I understand, tonight and tomorrow night, is that right?
Yes, we are.
Tonight and tomorrow night show.
How many tour dates have you already announced? Have you announced them all, or are you going to do it tonight, or what's the...
I think that they've been announced. I think that there's a bunch of dates that have been put online, and then I think there's a couple dates where there's some confusion, because one website posted that we were playing Houston one day and a different day, so I don't know. I just show up.
I think they got it worked out now.
Yeah,
I think it worked out now.
The tour dates have all been announced. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be the best tour of the summer, and...
Loads. And you're going out with a bunch of different bands, right? I know Fall Out Boy for part of it.
Yeah, Weezer. We got Taking Back Sunday. We got Chester French. We got Asher Roth, Panic at the Disco.
Weezer's played with you on at Irvine on September 17th.
Oh, All American Rejects. Yeah, that's right.
You can say it.
Well, I don't want it. You guys
have a microphone.
The way you guys all riff, Mark, you've been riffing with these guys great, and I don't want to like come in like it's goss. And just I know I'm here, but I just want to sit back and watch you guys. It's great.
As a matter of fact, real Tom, I'm glad you brought that up because we haven't heard from Fake Tom yet today, and I wonder what his thoughts are on the Blink-182 reunion. Fake Tom?
Come on, have some balls.
Do it.
Oh, is he?
You do it all the time when he's not here.
We're excited about the tour. It's gonna be great to play with these guys again.
There you go.
Is that Tom or is that the woman from All in the Family?
It's kind of a little bit of Edith Bunker, you're right.
Yeah.
It's
you
a
know
mixture
what?
Of both.
Hey, I just gotta say, I was driving down San Diego, and on the morning show there, the guy was doing the same thing, making fun of him, but singing like lines about some story. It's always the same. It's always the same whiny thing. You know what? But I remember that I was the one selling millions of records by sounding that way. That's what I remember most.
That's a good point. You win. You win, exactly. All right, let's squeeze in a couple calls in our remaining minutes with Blink-182. 1-800-520-1067. If you can hear us, you can call in. Let's start with Andrew. He is on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Andrew, you're on with Blink-182. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I was wondering, after, you know, not playing together for like 4 years, how's it been writing new music? Has it come easy, or are you finding it kind of difficult?
You are writing new music, right?
Yes, yeah, we are.
Okay. We sure are.
Is that difficult or easy?
No,
it's pretty easy, actually.
That's great.
Was it always easy?
It's easy-ish. Every song's different. Some songs come real easy, and some songs we got to work on and kind of take an idea and tear it back down and build it up a different way, and, you know... We're artists. We're tortured.
It's funny, the first song I think that we really got into sounds exactly where the last record like kind of broke off. Like it fits in exactly where that was, which is odd because we've all done so many different types of musical projects since. But it's refreshing. And Mark and I have always, we kind of grew up listening to the same kind of music.
Right.
You know, I mean, Mark's listened to a lot more self-help stuff than I have. But
don't it, laugh. Don't yeah. you laugh.
Well, that was serious. Sorry. New album. Do you have any idea when?
Yes, absolutely. We have a new album entitled One Way Ticket to Boneville. And now, when we get back from the tour, we'll probably head back into the studio and continue writing. And, you know, hopefully, I don't know, end of this year, early next year, but probably early next year.
Playing new songs on the tour?
Couple.
Yeah.
At least one, yeah.
It's weird. You know, it's funny. Like, we were rehearsing for like weeks and weeks, and then I remember the other day when we just got into a whole. There's so many songs that have been played on the radio. It's kind of hard to make. Oh, I'm sorry, are you guys talking?
No, go ahead.
Okay, because I wasn't sure. I was like, I don't want to interrupt you guys.
We were talking to Mike. You were talking. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's not interesting when no one's listening.
Well, don't let us distract you. Sorry.
There are other people listening besides those two.
Right.
Where are you guys at?
Where are you at? All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nothing. I just want to take this moment to say that despite how early it is, I still look handsome.
Yes, you do. Yeah, you certainly do. Hey, Travis, let me ask you this, because I've always been fascinated with how bands work in the studio. Do songs go through a bunch of different incarnations where it may start out one way, like a faster song, and end up as a slower song, or start out, you know, being kind of crazy and then end up being more hard rock? Tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, our last record, we had, gosh, what are those two songs called that were, like, basically the same song, and then I played drum parts for it fast.
All of This and Easy Target?
Yeah, that was basically the same song, and then I'd just go in there and kind of play, like, two different versions of it, like a really rock, like, aggressive version of it, and then a really mellow version. And sometimes those become, like, you know, two different songs, or, you know, it all changes. It all depends on the song and how we're feeling that day, you know?
I have a clip of one of your new songs. If you don't mind, I'd like to play it.
Okay.
All right.
I can't tell who's singing. Which one of you is that?
That's Tom, actually. I actually wrote the song, but Tom sang it. It's about a flower.
It does pick up where you left off. All right. Email question from Arnie. Hey, I met Tom yesterday when I delivered food to him. I wanted to know if he found his lost dog. What's that all about?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
You know what? This is
That's how lazy Tom is. He has to have food delivered, just trucked into his house.
You know
house.
What, Mark? You've never, ever been into bioidentical hormone therapy like I have. And
what happened with your dog?
They got out.
Yeah?
They just got out, and so this dude shows up, and he's delivering food at the house, and I'm racing out on the super gnarly, punked out golf cart, and I'm screaming for my dogs down the street. And it's funny, I was telling you this, it was a great story. We even talked about how a great story it was.
Sure.
And it's just great to be able to talk to the crowd out here in Radioland.
But seriously, Tom's dogs are like master. They should be on special forces Dude. Units, because literally his German Shepherd can climb straight up a flat wall.
Nice.
You know, this is the thing. They have those shock collars. You know how I know they get out? You smell like burnt dog.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
His dog's sprinting to the street.
There's your tour name. Smells like burnt dog.
Yeah.
I like it. Wow. So did you find him? Did they come back?
Yes, I did find them.
Okay, good.
And also, what are you doing to your dogs if they're so desperate to escape? Yeah, why do they want to climb on the wall? 8-foot wall.
I'm a very, very sexual person by nature.
Wow. You can't help who you're attracted to. Come on.
You cannot.
All right.
Don't
judge we're out of time, but without getting all mushy on you guys, this is something that we have hoped for a long time, and you know, we couldn't be happier to have you guys all in the same room and getting along and being happy and making great music, and we're very excited about new music, very excited about the tour, and we want to thank you for coming in today. It's a pleasure to catch up with each and every one of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ralph Garman joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday morning. We'll look at the showbiz beat. Ralph, what you talking about?
Well, every Monday morning we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office so you can see if your favorite movie made a lot of money this weekend. Angels and Demons, number one at the box office by far this weekend, made about $50 million, good enough to make it number one. Then Star Trek, still doing pretty well in its second weekend, made about $45 million, good enough to make it number two. Wolverine was third. Ghosts of Girlfriends Past came in at number four. Then Obsessed, 17 again. Monsters vs. Aliens, The Soloist, Next Day, Air, and Earth, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
I want a good movie.
Sorry, can't help you there. The Jonas Brothers, you know, are all saving themselves for the right women, whatever that is.
Right.
Like there is one, by the way. Just pick one. Just pick one and just bleed the brake lines, boys. Seriously, move on with your lives. But that makes them sort of the target for scorn and ridicule from those people who are perhaps more sexually adventurous than the Jonas Brothers.
Right.
Or the Joe Bros.
As you call
as
them.
As Seacrest calls them.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, they were going to film their new TV show. Here in Los Angeles, they've got a new show on, I believe it's the Disney Channel.
That is correct.
It is, yes.
Called Jonas.
It is.
That's the name of the show.
Yeah.
They were driving into the lot, and there was a group of young girls in front of the studio holding a large sign that said, "Take us, we're yours." The boys were sticking their heads out the window, smiling and waving to the girls, thinking it was sort of cute. They didn't realize that the girls had an ulterior motive. Once they got the boys' attention, they dropped the banner and revealed that none of them were wearing shirts. They were just showing their cans to the Joe Bros.
What a waste.
And apparently the siblings covered their eyes in embarrassment.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Pulled their heads back into the limo and averted their eyes on the way into filming their show.
Wow. What a waste.
But it had just been several guys with a holding a banner around belt level and then dropping it. I think the Jonas Boys would have enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah. Nick Jonas is so cute.
He really is. Fox has unveiled their fall schedule. What's going on in New York right now is what's known as the upfronts. Mm-hmm. They bring out all the showbiz press and they start talking
That's
about
what was going on
the
last
shows.
Story, too, by the way.
Hey, what? There was even high. Apparently, Fox is going to build the major part of its fall schedule around So You Think You Can Dance.
Really?
Anybody?
That is inexplicably a big hit, and I know it's coming back very soon.
That Mary Murphy, by the way.
Yes.
Murder Button.
Who's she? I don't know.
She's one of the judges on So You Think You Can Dance, who just screams at the top of her lungs all show long.
Is that the
you
show?
You can't believe she's real.
Is that the show with the Lithby judge? The Lithby one? Which show is that?
Remember that circus one?
Yeah, that was a circus one.
Oh, that was
one,
a circus
I think.
One, yeah.
Yeah.
I get them confused.
I know. Look, trust me, we all do. They all start to blur together. Bones House returning, of course, on Fox. Fringe will be moving to Thursday night. And apparently there's a new comic book TV series called Human Target.
Oh.
being added to the Fox lineup, so we can check that out,
You know,
too.
Lisa May.
Yeah. Hey, Gene Simmons.
Hi, Gene.
You're quite the human target.
Yeah, I think we can all fill in the joke
target out of you.
All right, thank you.
Actually, that's actually a comic book about a guy who is a sort of a bodyguard, a secret agent-y kind of bodyguard guy. And so to protect the people he's assigned to protect, he disguises himself as that person. So he takes the heat. He becomes the target because he's got uncanny disguise and makeup skills.
I see.
See?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I believe the guy, remember Mark Valley is his name. He was the actor who played Anna Torv's agent boyfriend on the beginning of Fringe.
Oh,
the beginning
yeah,
of
series. Killed, yeah.
I believe he is the lead in okay. that show. They already
it's
tried
one of the
to
lawyers
make,
on Boston Legal.
Yeah. They tried to make a series out of this previously, starring Rick Springfield many years ago.
As the main star?
As the human target. Yeah. So this is not the first time the human target has gotten the TV treatment, but I think they may be doing it better this time.
Yeah.
That's just my guess. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Jack Johnson, musician, is 34 years old today. Comedian Tina Fey, not just a comedian, but writer, actress, producer, director. She does it all over there on 30 Rock. She's very, very funny. 39 years old.
No.
Oh, how dare you?
Come on.
She's adorable.
Come on.
She's adorable.
He's up on the adorable, first of all.
She is.
She's very funny.
She's not bad.
She's super talented.
She's cute.
She's super
cute.
Talented
she
and
hardly
very
deserves
funny.
A gong. She hardly deserves a gong.
I'm sorry. I have to play you off.
Oh, I want
to Sorry. No choice but to play you off. Thank you, keyboard cat. Chow Yun-Fat is 54 years old today, and baseball legend Reggie Jackson celebrates his 63rd birthday. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That song was, of course, called New Divide, brand new Linkin Park for the brand new Transformers movie, which is Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. We have Chester and Mike from the band in the studio.
Yay.
Hello. Woo.
Yeah, I'm excited about the band and the song and all that, but did you meet Megan Fox? Let's get right to it, because frankly, that's really what we want to know.
And what's funny is I think there were requests within the band to meet Megan Fox, mm-hmm. and it didn't happen, which effectively means she turned the band down.
Oh, that hurts.
What's the point of being involved in the Transformers movie if you can't A, be a Decepticon, and B, meet Megan Fox?
Well,
Come on.
Those were actually my two points I wanted in the deal. I didn't care about money or any promotion or anything like that. All I cared about was Megan Fox and being a Decepticon.
You need better lawyers then, because it doesn't seem to be happening. Or you're a Decepticon?
Exactly.
Yeah, somebody's getting fired, basically.
All right, good.
Let's talk for just a minute about how hot Megan Fox is. I mean, have you guys ever seen her in person?
She put it this way. She's so hot that even my wife is like, she is really, really hot.
Yeah.
And Chester's wife. She's so hot that one of the guys, I forget who it was, somebody in the band was out to lunch with his wife, and they both, and this woman walks in the door, and they both went, oh my God, that is like the hottest woman in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And it was Megan Fox.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. She doesn't seem real when you look at her. She looks like she was created in a laboratory somehow.
That's fine with me. I don't care where she was created, but wherever it was, it was good.
Now, tell us how it works. Of course, you gave a Linkin Park song to the first Transformers soundtrack. Is this a continuity thing? They wanted it to kind of be, you know, kind of replicate all the things that made the first one so successful, so they came back to you for a new song, or how did it all hook up?
Well, well, if you with the story, based on the story of this one, that's not happening, because this is a pretty different, I feel like the story for this one is kind of a different thing than the first one, so I know these guys aren't trying to repeat themselves.
Yeah, plus, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that the movie probably wouldn't have been as successful if we didn't have
that's true. Yes.
What I've done was not there. That was
The only way they can guarantee box office, you know,
success,
you know, super success. Is
sure.
By
a lot of kids out there picking up the paper going, I want to go see this movie, but I'm not sure if there's a Linkin Park song in it or not. So bother.
What's really funny is that, you know, a lot of I meet a lot of kids because I have 1,000 children and I meet a lot of their friends. And you know, it's funny because a lot of them know us as the Transformer band. They don't even know
really?
Our names.
Yeah. Funny.
You're the Transformer guy. Yes. Yep.
That's what I am. Now, tell us about New Divide that we just heard here on K-Rock. Did you write that specifically for the movie, or was this a song that you didn't think was good enough for one of your records and you just sold it for a bunch of cash?
It was written for the movie, unfortunately, I guess. Sucks to be those guys. Now, we met with Michael Bay in the beginning of, I mean, he was still working with rough footage and editing together this, you know, a bunch of CG stuff for the movie that looked like Lego characters. I mean, it was really, really rough.
For the second one, yeah.
Okay. And he's, you know, he reluctantly showed us about half the movie, maybe a third to half of the movie. And I get how that is. I mean, you know, we don't like playing our music for anybody until it's finished. So
right.
we kind of, you know, we let him know, you know, we've got an imagination when it comes to this stuff. Just show us some stuff, and then we'll take what we see and try and write a song. And,
is that more difficult than writing a regular song because you kind of have,
you know,
something you need to...
Brad, our guitarist, had the best analogy for this situation. He said, it's like the difference between making one song on a one-off
right.
versus making a song in the context of a record of 12 songs is like the difference between making one hamburger and making 12 hamburgers. Like, it doesn't take 1/12 the energy or time. It takes a lot more. Like, we were working on the song for 2 months straight. By the end of it, I'm doing like 14-hour days, and I'm just going, why is it this difficult?
All this for one song?
Like, it's never this difficult, but it's that difficult because you're not working on 12 songs. You're just doing
one. I guess that makes sense, yeah.
The soundtrack and the movie for Transformers 2 are both going to be the end of June. Do you know where your song is in the film?
It's actually throughout the entire film.
It's everywhere. And that sounds like a joke, but it actually is true.
We need to take a break, but I want to ask you about working on the... Because you worked on the regular soundtrack,
too. The score.
Yeah, the score, right.
Yes.
I saw that making of video thing that you guys have, and it looked like you were scoring the whole movie, which has got to be cool.
Well, we'll talk about that.
All right, we'll do that. We got the guys from Linkin Park in the studio, and we will be right back on K-Rock. The guys from Linkin Park are here, Mike Shinoda, Chester Bennington, talking about the song for the new movie, The Transformers.
Which, by the way, world premiered on K-Rock this afternoon at around 12:45 and is available worldwide for download on iTunes as of right now. Are you? Is this song going to also be on the next Linkin Park record, or is the soundtrack going to be the only place people will be able to get that on an album?
It's the only place.
Okay.
It's like one of my things. I told the guys I will do this, like, for my one vote out of six, I'll do this song, but we can't put it on the next record because I just feel like that's cheating.
You know?
Okay.
So you buy a record and it's like, oh, I've already heard that song. Well,
now, when you download, you know, the score or movies, you know, songs, a lot of times there's one song and they don't let you just download that one song. You have to download the whole album. Is that the case here?
I have no idea. I have no. I doubt it.
I will curse your name if that's the case.
I think so.
I did not think of that. Wow,
they do that. I mean, a lot of them.
They do that a lot.
It says album only or something like that, and you can't buy the single.
This is amazing, by the way. I want to go on record as saying this is a red letter day. This is the first time Kevin has ever thought of something that somebody else hadn't thought of.
That's amazing.
How dare you?
Yeah. Well done,
Kevin.
Mark this down on your calendars.
Thank you. All right. Speaking of the score, and for folks who don't know the word, that's the music that's not songs that's in a film. And you can't really even make a movie without a score because you need dramatic tension and you need things going on behind every scene. And you guys were very involved in that for Transformers, which is new for y'all, right?
Yeah, it's we sent the song. I mean, the way it worked out was that we sent New Divide over to Michael Bay and his team, and Hans Zimmer, who is just a world famous,
one of the
world
best in the
class, an incredible composer, and he's overseen a number of scores for a number of movies since like Last Emperor through the Batman, the most recent Batman movie, and Pirates of the Caribbean, and all this great stuff. Hans is overseeing this score as well, and he heard the song, loved it. He had us come in, and we sat down, and in his incredible, was his studio is like one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
It looks like he sucks the blood of people out. In there, he's like it's like a 16th century vampire's lair.
Oh, I
like
he's it. German. He, yeah. I think it felt to me like he literally took the inside of a German church and like imported the whole thing and put it in his little studio.
Did you
Los
get
Angeles.
The feeling that you're not going to get out alive?
I kind of. Did that yeah. happen? Yeah. You definitely get a good. You get a good like movie vibe when you're in there.
So he's got a big screen, I imagine.
Four of them.
Four. Okay. So
four,
you watch
six or something. I don't even know. And so he plays this movie on the screen,
right?
The parts of the movie and. It's the, you know, the music behind it is basically this huge, you imagine a huge orchestra
mm-hmm.
playing the musical themes that we wrote. It's
oh,
it was
I
he took
see.
Our song and turned wow. it into a number of different things, and some of them sound a lot like the song, some of them sound nothing like the song, but that's where we started. And he said, will you be involved? And we loved it, and we got him, we came into their studio and basically took it from there and started adding and subtracting things, you know.
Now was that out. A real will you be involved or just kind of a showbiz will you be involved? And then when you showed
you know
up,
that's like, that's what we thought.
It was probably a little bit of both. He's probably like, you know, I am Hans Zimmer,
right? Of course. He doesn't
you know,
need
like,
help
like I'm but, not really asking you
right
I'm kind of, but I'm gonna be polite enough to say, you know, hey, what do you guys think?
Dear God, the Linkin Park guys are here and they're telling me what to do. I didn't realize they were gonna
yeah.
get into this
place. Yeah, and he opened up the can of worms at that point.
Yeah.
Now, there has to be a point. I mean, it's a real compliment to be involved in a process like that with a guy like Hans Zimmer, but there has to be a point where you think, I'm an actual musician now. I'm not just a dude playing in a garage band. I actually am a musician.
I think I actually I actually think it makes us feel smarter, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
all right.
Because, you know, it's not like we're just writing rock songs, you know, like you know,
now you're scoring movies.
Yeah, my 13-year-old's like, I can write a rock song, you know, and like he's never even picked up an instrument.
He's actually
so
right.
That makes you
right.
feel dumber.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when like Hans Zimmer, who's you know, he's got 200 people in there, like playing very specific pieces.
So he has
like,
look
what I do with your music. It's like,
in there?
Wow, we are really smart.
we cannot reveal. We are not at liberty to reveal Mr. Zimmer's secrets.
Oh, all right.
You know what we haven't asked you guys yet? If you're just joining us on K-Rock, Mike and Chester from Linkin Park are here. We world premiered their new song, New Divider, earlier today. Just played it again a few minutes ago. How is the Transformers movie? Does it look like it's going to be awesome?
It is awesome. It is really awesome. There's I if you see the more recent trailer mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. that just came out, I think that's the one that shows some of the new characters that they brought in for this movie, like they created for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how is that thing with the enormous wheels? And
it's
like
insane.
The size, it's crazy.
It's insane.
They've
yeah.
got some really amazing looking stuff in this movie. Yeah. I've never seen
my
anything
kids,
like it.
Megan Fox is one of them.
Yeah. My kids were looking at the new trailer, and a crowd had gathered around the computer, and all of a sudden, I was not there. I was like in another room, and
right.
all of a sudden, I heard. Oh! I was like, "What the heck just happened?" And it was,
are you sure they weren't watching porn?
And then he came in the room, and they flipped. They closed the window. They're like, "Yeah, Transformers.
That's weird how it changes.
That's gonna be good." Now, did you guys work? Did you already do a video for this song? Because I know,
yeah,
you did
yeah,
already.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Do
we
you
did.
Turn into Transformers?
We actually, Johan directed this one once again, and it was in. We used one of the sets from the movie
mm-hmm.
In one of the scenes, which is really that was
yep.
awesome. That was like one of the coolest things. I mean, they brought in, I keep having to self edit because I think I don't want to give away parts of the movie, but there are scenes in the movie with these robots in a cave in Egypt, and
uh-huh.
we got to use that set.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The soundtrack again comes out on June 23rd. That's a Tuesday, and then the movie opens on Wednesday, June 24th. Real quick before you guys go, what's up next for Linkin Park beyond this?
You got a couple things.
Yeah, I actually just finished my solo project called Dead by Sunrise. That record should be out in September sometime.
September.
Yeah.
Been hearing a lot about that.
You guys will get you guys will get a single.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of it's really hard to like be in Linkin Park and have another band.
Yeah,
at the
I can
time.
See that. I can
so
see that.
It's kind of like yeah. I mean, I don't want to just you know discount the quality of the music, but it's kind of like a hobby almost where
okay.
it's like you know this is Linkin Park comes first, and when I have time, you know, I go into my basement and I put together my train tracks or whatever it is. But so I finally finished it.
Yeah.
You know, altogether, I think I put about 3 weeks worth of work into it, and it took 4 years to make. So
you're working to the your skin to the bone,
dude.
With
he worked so hard on that record and did such a good job. I mean, Chester's not. I think he makes jokes about it and whatever, but it really is cool. And I think. One really interesting thing will be that when the first song comes out, I don't know if people will recognize it right away.
Really?
Even his voice, because it's like the way my Fort Minor thing was obviously different from Linkin Park. You
right.
hear it and you realize kind of why that's different and what my thing sounds like on its own.
But same, you could also tell thing. It's your voice. And
I think
we could tell it's Chester.
Same thing. But I think that, you know.
Even the president of our record company was like, when he heard, you know, the music, he goes, "What did you do to your voice that's different and I'm like, I don't know. I don't, honestly, I just sang.
All right, guys, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Bye
now.
This thong gives me an ass rash, but the boys love it.
Oh, come on. That's Paramore, and that's Decode on K-Rock. By the way, Paramore is taping an MTV Unplugged show sometime next month, if you're interested in those guys.
I didn't know they were doing that again.
I know one little Mexican who's going to be there. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
He's very excited about it. All right, Monday afternoon, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, it's a good year for sports broadcasting. It's a good year if you're a football fan.
How come?
Because things just keep falling into place. First of all, that giant fat turd of a broadcaster, John Madden, retires.
You mean the best broadcaster
ever?
The
worst, most annoying, most clueless, most arrogant, obnoxious, grating broadcaster in all of football.
And by that, you mean the best.
Worst.
All right.
He retires.
Mm-hmm.
He puts his fat ass in an easy chair, just a heart attack waiting to happen.
Right.
Just turducken clogging his arteries. Just gonna, his aorta just going to burst and spew a fountain of blood out through his ears. Awesome.
Okay.
That's happening.
That happened.
Then today, Tony Kornheiser. Most obnoxious guy in the booth for Monday Night Football.
Yes, yeah, yes. He's a pain in the ass.
He's gone. He's out.
Awesome. That is good news.
Replacing him, and I think it's going to be real good, is John Gruden, former coach for the Bucks. Chucky.
Yeah. Chucky.
He'll be in there with the booth with Mike Tirico and Ron Jaworski. So finally, the lineup for ESPN for Monday Night Football is someone I can tolerate. Because Kornheiser would try to make jokes that were lame, and
yeah.
he'd act like he knew what he was talking about, and he didn't. It was just an embarrassment. He was horrible.
He's pretty geeky. Pretty geeky.
So that lineup just got 33% better than that booth crowd right there. So, good stuff right there. Also good news, if, like me, you're a big Ricky Gervais fan.
Yes.
He is returning to HBO with a brand new show. It's going to be an animated series called The Ricky Gervais Show.
Oh, no kidding.
Really?
Based on his wildly popular podcasts. Have you ever listened to his podcast?
I have. Yeah. Great.
Hilarious. With his partner, Steve Merchant, who he has worked with for many years, and also Carl Pilkington, who, if you know, Carl is the third person on that show. He's the producer of their radio show, and he is a nut. He is insane. And weird and dumb, and they love to mock him.
Yeah.
And this has been the inspiration for Ricky to do this animated show, because they want to have a show that includes their friend Carl Pilkington, so he will be animated as well.
Awesome.
Hopefully sometime next year we'll see the first episodes of the Ricky Gervais Show on HBO. So it's good times.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
And we're starting to get some inside information about the casting for the new A-Team movie. It's going to be pretty exciting.
I think so, too.
Joe Carnahan is directing, and so far the rumor has it that Common will be playing B.A. Baracus, played by Mr. T originally on the TV series.
Okay.
And now it looks like Bradley Cooper, who's got a new movie coming out next weekend called The Hangover.
Mm-hmm. Looks great.
Mm-hmm. He will be playing Face, Lieutenant Templeton Peck, Face Man Peck, in the A-Team, originally played by Dirk Benedict.
Yep.
No word yet on the rest of the cast, but apparently in the lead is Kurt Russell as Hannibal. He'd be great.
Oh, he would be.
And no word yet on who would take the role of Howling Mad Murdoch, originally played by Dwight Schultz on the A-Team TV series. But hopefully we'll find out soon.
Ralph, what's the angle on this remake? Are they playing it campy or straight, or what are they doing?
It's going to be straight with humor. It's going to be an action-adventure film with a sense of humor, but it's not going to be as campy as the old 80s TV series.
Okay.
Because if you can find them.
Yeah.
If the A-Team can help you.
Hiding from the government, but if you can find them.
If you can find them,
yeah.
Ask them to help. Sometimes they'll say yes.
take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Musician Jack Johnson celebrates his 34th birthday. Comedian Tina Fey from 30 Rock does a great job over there on that show. She is 39 years old today. Did I hear a bell in the distance?
Very, very.
You sure did.
Yeah.
I don't want to be mocked. I think she's very attractive, but if I gave it too enthusiastic a bell, I know there would be howling protests. So I'm trying to satisfy everybody by giving her a little bit of a mild bell.
I think she's hot enough for a mild
bell.
Yeah,
I think so too.
Really? For a mild bell, sure.
Really? I think she's very cute. And then you add in her personality on top of that, and she's awesome.
Sorry.
Thank you, keyboard cat. Play Bean Off, please. Martika. She is 40 years old today. Singer-guitarist Paige Hamilton of Helmet celebrates his 49th birthday. And Chow Yun-Fat.
Hi!
You guys, I think you gave yourself a hernia there.
Yeah, that hurt.
He is 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.